the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Want to chat with the guys?
Friend Blink.
That's not how I wanted to announce that either.
This is Brooke's poem about what's going on.
Oh my god, he's about to fucking read it.
Is the poem called Manjaw?
Jesus Christ. My father has a daughter, and I have feelings too, and if I knew your father, I would do the same for you.
Motherfucker, fucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am no longer straight edge after having to sit here and listen to that.
There was just one comment that I saw where this one dude said, not even remotely good. So I click on his Facebook and all of his photos are him with his two young sons at TNA events. Ah. You know, if they make a wish, kids, I bet they wish they were a Raw.
Friend Blink.
Brother. There. All fixed. That was it. That was the Hogan audio right there, man.
Don't trust Rick Dara.
Something gay must have happened to you and you didn't like it, so now you're like your hate mad against the world. Like, get over it.
When you said something gay must have happened in the past and they didn't like it, I thought you meant like buying Batman Arkham Knight for PC.
No, it's just like
why are you so pissed off? Something gay happened to me. I bought the PC version of Batman Arkham Knight.
Friend Blink.
And the looks on their faces, it almost seems like TNA doesn't have fans. They have victims. And as people who defend it to me, man, there's listeners that we have that defend it to me. They'll privately message me and they'll literally justify everything. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. They'll explain every single illogical
thing. That lollipop.
You see, you could talk about old wrestling without saturating your show. We didn't miss the word.
Pull those jabs tonight, man. I should introduce you as Ronda Rousey next time.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
Thank you, gay Jesus.
Hey. Casting aside their regular work to try this other thing. You see, that's how you become a comedian. You know, that's some initiative.
What about me? Then the crowd goes, what about Beretta?
You can't have that. Can't just give that to Trent Beretta. No way.
Yeah. What the hell was that? Man, I don't even know what that was.
That was...
All right. Here we go.
Let's get it on.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the pre-show, everyone. The pre-show that you did not give me any suggestions for.
Way to go, loyal fans.
Yeah, I'll remember that, though. They just wanted to talk about Ronda more.
You know what? Next week we should talk about TNA. See how you guys like that shit.
Nothing but TNA, no more Ronda. TNA all day. Nah, we're not gonna do that though. I wouldn't survive through it. To hell with that idea. So how's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I actually went and picked up a Christmas tree today.
Wow. Aww.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's definitely, I guess, traditional. It's a very traditional thing to do.
Not for me. First time I've done it in 14, 15 years.
Hey, you did it one more time than I'll ever do it. So congratulations. Shit. Yeah, so for anyone who's new here, I was about to say I'm McWrestling. That would have been bad, right?
Cut, take two.
See, now it's a true prep show. But yeah, now I'm Rick Dara. I'm here with my co-host Mick Wrestling, and we're here with Who the Fuck is Jen for the next episode.
What up? See, that totally worked. Oh, boy. This is the Talk Brunch Podcast. You already know the deal. Wherever you're listening from, whether it be YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, we're available everywhere. Just look us up, talkbrunch.com, for all of our links and stuff. Follow us on Twitter. All the links are on the main webpage. Rant the M Radio, everywhere, everywhere. We're easy to find.
Yeah, you can't say you can't find us. Even when I search for us on Google, we pop up first, like our Talk Brunch logo, our characters and everything. And for some strange reason, a lot of pictures of Sims.
Yeah, that's unique. But yeah, and if you guys like slideshows, sometimes we do them on YouTube, not as often, but you know, you'll find them on there. Our Jessica Jones special, things of that nature. So now that we got the plugs out of the way, what did you guys think of this big trailer that occurred over the weekend?
The trailer. I think you're talking about that Batman Superman trailer.
Yeah, that trailer. The one and only. Or as they say in Monty Python, the same.
I gotta say, I actually loved it. I saw it, and at the end of it all, my reaction was, this movie's gonna shit on Civil War, which I thought Civil War was, it's gonna be a pretty bad movie from the get-go, but this movie, this trailer that they just released, to me, it further confirmed it, that Batman versus Superman is gonna kill Captain America Civil War.
Interesting. We're gonna come back to that one. What about you, Jen?
Well, I was kind of hesitant to watch it a little bit, like as soon as it popped up on Facebook, and I was just like, I don't know if I want to watch this or not. And then I was more or less peer pressured to watch it when I was at work, because, you know, I have a coworker who's a big time Marvel fan, DC fan. We always talk geek stuff at work, and he's like, you know, dude, you got to watch this trailer. And I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and watch it. So he showed it to me, and we were sitting in one of the main dining rooms just watching it. And I was sitting there, I was like, okay, this is getting interesting. This is getting interesting. Okay. And he wasn't lying that, you know, Doomsday looked badass. Hands down, that was pretty awesome. And
I didn't like Doomsday.
Yeah, we'll see if he lives up to the hype for that one. Because I was kind of he looks pretty badass, but, you know, he didn't really do anything. So they just showed him. So, and then, of course, you know, I kind of geeked out at the end with the whole, you know, Wonder Woman just showing up, and they were like, she with you? And he's like, no, is she with you? No.
No,
I only have like one gripe about the trailer.
Okay.
One little gripe. It was the wisecracking Lex Luthor when he was talking to both Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent at the little party or whatever.
Right. I spoke to somebody else and they said they had the same gripe also. It was like they don't want like a wisecracking Lex Luthor, and I was like, I get it. And I said that I thought Kevin Spacey was one of the best ones that they had from the last movie, and they agreed also.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, well, my thoughts on the trailer are a little bit more complex.
Okay.
Was it a great trailer? Fantastic. Yes, it was fantastic. It had all the bells and whistles you would expect from a trailer. It had action and adventure and excitement, special effects, all kinds of stuff going on. But then we get to the core problems with this, and that's what it really means for the movie franchise. And I look on one hand, and I see Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I see something that started around 2008, I want to say, and something that they built up for years and years after that. You know, for years. And now here we are, 2015, and they managed to establish and connect all of these characters together. Iron Man and Hulk and the entire group, Captain America.
Well, I know where you're going with this.
Right. So anyway, you know, I'm looking at the way that universe was built, and they took their time and they nurtured it to life, and they basically, now they're getting all the payoffs. And then I see DC with Marvel Envy, and they basically wish that they had a cinematic universe of their own. But since they didn't launch it yet, they're sort of rushing it together. So we have one movie with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. I hear Flash makes an appearance. At the end, we have a Doomsday that looks like a bootleg Killer Croc. You know, it's just one of those things.
You say bootleg Killer Croc, I say a battle-damaged Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, really. Yes, I didn't know that was Doomsday the first time I watched it. Like, I didn't know that was Doomsday. It was kind of like, that can't be Doomsday. That might be good if that was Doomsday's penis. But, like, the whole Doomsday? Where the fuck is the rest of him? Where is the rest of him? Where is the rest of Doomsday?
So many memes. Like I said, I've seen a meme with him wearing a Michelangelo mask. So I was like, that's where I got the Ninja Turtle thing from. I've seen one where a fan actually took the missing pieces, like all the thorns and stuff that are normally popping out of him, and they added it on, and it actually looked better that way, too.
Yeah, the thorns on him, like the holes in this plot, right? Horrible. So in two hours, Batman and Superman are going to meet. And that's another thing that I have problems with. Clark Kent didn't know who Bruce Wayne was. You're a fucking reporter. You don't know who Bruce Wayne is. He's a town over. Wayne Enterprises. Richest man.
How could you not know who Bruce Wayne is? Millionaire.
Playboy. How could you be a reporter and not know who Bruce Wayne is? You work for the Daily Planet.
That's literally like us sitting here right now and going, Donald Trump? I never heard of that guy.
But it's even worse because it's someone who's like, you know, right there next to him, you know? That's like if I was like Vince McMahon, who the fuck is that? You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
I never heard of a Vince. What'd you say it was? McMahon?
The Wyatts. Is that a new kind of drink? You know, it's like, what the fuck is going on here? Where this guy doesn't know who Superman and they don't know each other. And then they have that stupid little rap battle where they're both sort of talking with each other. Reminds me of the Flash rap battle. Where it's sort of like, you know, the two of them are like shitting on each other. Have you guys seen that yet?
I've seen the rap battle.
No, I haven't seen the rap battle. I've heard about it. It hurts pretty damn funny, so I might check it out.
They are hilarious, yeah.
It appears we have a bat problem. This is a job for Superman. Capes are for heroes that fly. You mad? It's too bad you're just wearing an extra long do-rag. You're batshit crazy. You're a whack job. Ring the bell for Alfred to bring you a towel. Jack off and take that stupid mask off. No need to masquerade. We all know what you did with all of them robins in your bat cave. I'm a god. You're a steroid abusive whore. I defeated Zod. You got beat by a luchador. You and the commissioner. Yeah, not natural. When he wants a booty go, he just flashes the bat signal. And who the hell let you join the Justice League? This is a team of superheroes, just us. Leave. Run, Dorothy. You ain't in Kansas no more. I'll beat your ass and pay Jimmy Olsen to leak the photos. I'll break your jaw with brass knuckles made of kryptonite. Crack your kneecaps, you'll be walking like a kryptonite. When you hear the name Batman, you go insane. Popping out these grappling hooks and lasso Lois Lane. Your girl told me I do all the things you couldn't. She told me last night that you were faster than a speeding bullet. Just accept it. You probably need some extends. You got that icy cold breath and still need a breath mint. You're in the square with me? How could you dare to be? I'm about to make this Kryptonian bow down and swear to me.
Yeah, but that's sort of what that trailer reminded me of, you know? It just sort of seemed like, you know, like they're just getting petty with each other and I don't know. There were just a lot of things that I wasn't feeling about it, to be honest with you guys. It's the rushing things. It's this many characters at once. Wonder Woman being put in the last few minutes of it, you know, with her shield popping up. Ultimately, all of those are the things that bothered me. It was very rushed, too many characters at once. And I almost want to believe that part at the end where she says, you know, where he goes, is she with you? Or she was with you. I'm hoping that that's for the trailer only and that she doesn't really legit land there in that cheesy way in between the two of them. And they really
sure
exchange those
she's
lines.
She's going to have some dialogue in between. Like, you're going to see her as, like, doing her regular day job and whatnot.
But no, I just don't want her first appearance as Wonder Woman to be that moment.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I don't want it to be that scene at all because it was very corny done. And then the three of them standing there, that's the DC Trinity standing there. I just can't help but think, imagine how cooler of a buildup it would be if that happened after three or four movies of them all teaming up and doing different things and things of that nature.
See, it would have had to be where it's like Batman had his own movie with Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne / Batman. Then we had the first Superman movie. Then I wouldn't even see it working if you just had her as a side character in this movie and then she makes the big appearance at the end. Like, it's pretty much like you said, they would have to build up like a franchise where she would have her own movie and then like she just makes her appearance and it's like, oh shit, she made the appearance. She popped up at the end or in the middle of the battle.
I don't think she should be there at all.
She's about to go down.
I don't think she should be there at all. I think it was done very poorly. This movie to me, I could be wrong, but I just don't think it's going to be that good. As far as Civil War is going to blow it out of the fucking water. First of all, Marvel movies have been on point. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I feel like just because they're missing so many characters, I feel like that's where the flop's going to be.
You know, Guardians of the Galaxy, best superhero movie ever. And they're going to be incorporating those guys into the entire Infinity War and stuff like that. Like, I have complete and total faith in Marvel over DC. I like the characters of both universes equally. I read all comics equally. But in this particular case, I'm not feeling the Batman v Superman. Beautiful trailer. They put everything in there, practically the entire movie, as a matter of fact. You know, we could see the plot from beginning to end, which is another one of my problems with it. It really left nothing for the imagination. We now know that Batman meets Superman, and they originally have a conflict, and then that conflict gets interrupted by Doomsday showing up, and then the two of them have to team up. But not only that, Wonder Woman comes to save the day. So unless the twist at the end is that they're all killed by Doomsday, we pretty much know the entire plot of this movie now. So what the fuck was the point? Like I said, it could still be good, but in my opinion, I think this is going to be one of those movies where even if there's things about it we like, there's going to be things about it we hate. It's not going to be like the other superhero movies on the other side where we like almost everything, where there's very few complaints and most of it is point on. I think it's a hype monster. It's a hype monster. Beautiful trailer, though.
I agree with you on that, yeah.
I guess I bit into the hype because I still think like it's going to be better than Civil War.
I doubt it. You know, and I also find that the mainstream public, like the non-comic book reading audience out there, they're very easily seduced by the dark side, as they say in Star Wars, you know, because they saw just a couple of things. They heard a bassy voiced Batman and they bought that shit hook, line, and sinker, you know? They practically had the balls down their throat just for this one trailer. And it was like, really? This is all that it takes? This is all that it takes nowadays for people to be like, oh shit, you know? And that's really what caught me about it. Yes, there are cool things about it. Trailers are meant to be cool. They're designed to sell us the movie. But when I look at the other things,
it wasn't even the Doomsday thing that caught me. Like, I know a lot of people, what hyped them up was the trailer we got before that, the little short one where Batman's tied up inside the Fortress of Solitude and Superman walks up and pulls the mask off of his face. And you're like, oh shit, I wonder what led up to that happening. Which I think they did recently reveal that was a dream / nightmare sequence that Bruce Wayne has.
Yeah, because only in dreams could they have such a good plot going on. Because in the actual movie, nothing like that's happening. You know, like that's happening. So, no, I'm not sold. And let's keep this in mind that this is the same universe of the first Superman movie, The Man of Steel, which I also, you know, I don't like that movie. I thought that was a very forced movie.
It was.
Yeah, it was bad.
I like the Brandon Roth movie better than that one.
Yeah, so now we take a Superman movie that was a bad Superman movie. In my opinion, a guy who didn't remind me at all of Superman, and we team him up with a guy who doesn't remind me of Batman, and then he fights a guy who doesn't look like Doomsday. Cool. You know, I guess, if we're going by special effects, at least Wonder Woman's there.
She's like, I'm here to fight both your asses.
They wanted to put everyone in this movie. Flash and Arrow and Martian Manhunter and Cyborg and Raven and Aquaman. They were trying to get everybody into that.
You're just throwing out Teen Titan names now.
that's how it is at this point, you know? That's how it is. They're just trying to squeeze as many characters as they can into this one movie. And they had to show the whole trailer. That was out of urgency. They wanted to show everybody, look how much we have. So they stuffed it all into one trailer and they spoiled most of the movie, really. And it's weird because the same people that don't complain about the fact that this movie was called Superman, Batman v Superman, and it has very little Batman v Superman in it because they hardly ever fight, are the people who penalize Halo for the entire game not being about Master Chief and Locke fighting each other. It's funny. It's weird. It's a double standard. Like I said, I think there'll be things that we still like about this movie, but I don't think it'll be everything. There are Marvel movies where
Won't be everything, but I'm still... Even though you just like ripped it to shreds like it was an episode of TNA, I'm still going to stand by the fact that I think, or at least my opinion, it's going to be the better movie than Civil War. If the time comes and I'm wrong, I'll get right back on here and admit I was wrong.
Yeah, well, you will be doing that because there's no way it's going to be better than Civil War.
Zero faith.
No faith whatsoever. No, I can definitely feel this one. As far as the Civil War, though, have you guys seen that trailer?
Yes.
I saw
it on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
That was really cool, man. The whole ending and shit where...
Yeah, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. We have Winter Soldier and we have Steve Rogers fighting against Tony Stark. That three-way little dance that was going on there. Holy shit.
I was totally geeking out
over
that.
With the little heartfelt moment at the end where he says the line about, he's my friend. And he's like, I was your friend.
Yeah. And I was like, the feels. Yeah.
You know what, though? At least he knew who the fuck he was. You know? Because Mr. News Reporter over here doesn't know who Bruce Wayne is. You know, at least...
Apparently Clark Kent doesn't have the internet.
Nope. You don't have anything. Captain America, who's like frozen in time, knows more information than fucking Clark Kent, who's a reporter.
Yeah, because he keeps a freaking notebook with like all the like references and stuff about what people are talking about.
But both trailers look good, guys. But they both look good. I have more faith in the established franchise where I know all of the characters and we go back years and years than the one where Wonder Woman just pops up in the middle and is just holding a shield and it's just like, oh, look, here are all of the cool characters that you wanted. Just no origins.
Whatever.
So.
All right.
Batman v Superman and Civil War. Let's see which one turns out to be better.
Civil War. Hands down. Because so I actually read the book of the comic.
Yeah, same too. Here. That's why I was like, yeah, with all the characters.
And I did like
missing.
Some background information on, like, you know, excuse me, background checks on like all the characters that aren't in the, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I was like, okay, that's who that is. Okay, that's who that is. And it kind of made me, you know, understand the story a little better. Because I let one of my friends read it, and they were like, I didn't get past the first page. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
I reread it again recently. It's a great story. It has its ups and downs, yeah. But it's really cool. I'm glad that they're choosing to do that. And yes, there are characters that they don't have. That's by no fault of theirs. Those rights belong to Fox.
Yeah, yeah. We know the Fox and Sony.
Yeah,
shit.
Fox thing.
Yeah,
but they already replaced them with good characters. You know, we have a lot of characters in there now. They're bringing in Inhumans. They're bringing in characters that have nothing to do with the Civil War. The Guardians are going to be part of the Infinity Gauntlet. And again, Guardians, best superhero movie ever, in my opinion. You know, love it. Love everything about it. I watch it whenever I can. And just thinking about them incorporating that world into everything else. And then the fact that, keep in mind that this is literally, hashtag, it's all connected. You have Jessica Jones, you have Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Daredevil. All of that shit is going to connect with the stuff in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The Defenders are going to be formed. All of these things are entwined. And to me, that's way more exciting than, poof, here's Wonder Woman. I choose you.
You're not going to let this Wonder Woman thing go.
You know, just poof. We're just going to poof characters out now, you know? It's going to be like Naruto's clone jutsu. You know, poof, 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 poof. Here's all the characters you want.
Now I got the fucking Naruto song stuck in my head. The fucking do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, see, I prefer that over that. At least they have writing in Naruto. Anyway, on that note, let's start the show.
This is the Talk Brunch Podcast, available at TalkBrunch.com. Also on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Talk Brunch, where the heels are all baby faces. And now introducing the two guys who run the whole thing, the tag team champions of the internet, and your hosts, Rick Dara and McWrestling.
What's up, fellow marks? It's December 7th, 2015, and this is the 86th episode. I'm your host, Rick Dara. With me, as always, is the co-host with the no-most, Mick Wrestling. What's up, partner?
What's going on, man?
Same old. Glad to be here. And also joining us is who the fuck is Jen? Again. What's going on, Jen? Hey. So tonight we're going to be talking about Raw, Dirt Sheets, our TLC predictions, NXT, releases, injuries, matches, spots, botches, you name it. Time to talk some wrestling. All right, so what did you guys think of this week? What do you guys think of what's been going on?
It's been a good apology for what we had to deal with the previous week, I'd say.
You think so?
I have to agree with
that. Well, I liked Raw. I liked NXT. Cool. I stayed clear of TNA, as always.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm the TNA virgin over here, so.
Yeah, I stood away from it, too. Yeah, she's never watched TNA, so we're going to keep her pure. She's going to be like
Okay, cool. She's going to be like beyond the golden days, so you're not missing anything.
Yeah, that's she's going to be our Virgin Mary of wrestling, where she's never going to go near a TNA penis.
Holy shit.
Because I got that repellent, you know.
Yeah. I have a listener comment here before we go into any of our stuff. I only brought one with me this time since no one bothered to give us any pre-show suggestions.
You're like very bitter about that tonight, aren't you?
Hey, we could talk about whatever they want, but we're going to talk about whatever we want now. So We got Tom Johnson. Tom Johnson said, this is in reference once again to Ronda Rousey, because that's what everyone wants to hear us talk about. But this was in reference to our Ronda Rousey second serving. For those of you who haven't listened, you can find it on YouTube. He said, now this was a great discussion. These guys are Ronda Rousey fanboys. You can feel the hurt. But as usual, their anti-boxing bias comes to the fore. It must really hurt that an ex-world boxing champion beat their MMA queen. Why can't MMA fans admit that boxing is a legitimate form of self-defense or a combat art form of jiu-jitsu, wrestling, or judo? So he's basically saying, you know, why can't we accept it the way we do jiu-jitsu and all of these other things? I'm just going to say, clearly Tom isn't a regular listener. He'd know that I'm fans of both Ronda and Holly Holm. So I wasn't exactly heartbroken when this whole thing went down. It kind of tried to make us seem more heartbroken than we are, and it was weird. I know Rage was a little upset on that episode. You know, yeah, he cried out about, you know, the loss of her. I was indifferent to it. It was shocking, but, you know, we wouldn't have had something to talk about, as selfish as that sounds, if things would have just went according to plan. It made the week more interesting. I mean, as a podcaster, there's no way that you guys are going to try to put it on me that, oh, you must be feeling terrible that there's this much fucking talk now. No. You're sadly mistaken. Like, am I a Ronda fan? Sure. But that doesn't make her loss my loss. Like, that's for over-emotional fans that can't separate themselves from the product. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel bad, but it's like, I'm, you know, the way people, it seems like everyone wants to, like, bathe in our tears, and I'm just like, that's not what's going
to
happen.
And though. Yeah, unfortunately, guys, I'm going to have to steal a WWE line and say Ronda's loss, it's what was best for business for us, because it got you guys sending us messages. It's a topic. It's been, 3 weeks now, and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, dude, we met so many more people. Shout out to 50II. He gave us the elaborate response last episode. And then I went and I researched him, and he's an MMA fighter. He's a kickboxer. He does training. He has great videos. He's probably going to pop up here. He offered to come on here and talk some technical MMA with us. So yeah, as much as you guys want to say Ronda's loss, you guys must be feeling it. Yeah, I'm feeling it. All right. Boo hoo. You know, and the other thing that he said, as far as why can't MMA fans admit that boxing is a legitimate form of self-defense, just like all the other combat arts and stuff, I never denied it. But I also never denied that boxing is fucking boring as shit. It is boring. Like, die in your seat, fucking boring. Like, kill all your children and hang yourself, boring.
Like, boxing wasn't a legitimate sport, like you just said. But you find it boring. I don't really watch it unless we're watching the big fights. Like, how the last fight we had that we watched was Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Yeah, and it's probably the last fight we'll watch for a while.
I'm going to admit it. I haven't, legit watched boxing as a fan since Tyson was still in the ring.
Yeah, so it's like we recognize that it's a combat sport and that it's capable of being used to defend yourself. But we just recognize that when we watch it, we're miserable. We're watching the clock more than we're watching the fight, and we're absolutely miserable. Watching Mayweather float around and avoid punches is not entertaining. Great strategy for him, made him lots of money. Good for that guy. That doesn't mean that I have to watch it. You know, there's a lot of reverends and shit that make money in the church system. Does that mean that I should go watch reverends, even though they're boring as shit too?
Testify!
I had a Testify. Kirk Franklin, don't you want a revolution thing to say right there, but I'll leave it alone.
You know, there are plumbers out there that make a good living. Should I go watch them unclog toilets? Just because someone crack. Makes...
You see a yeah. lot of butt crack.
Yeah, exactly. Just because someone makes their living doing something doesn't mean I have to be impressed with the process. I don't like watching Mayweather fights. They're usually really fucking boring. And most boxing matches nowadays are boring. And no one gives a fuck about boxing. I'm sorry if we misled you, Tom Johnson, into thinking that we don't think that boxing is a legitimate combat sport. It's just that we don't think that it's an entertaining one. We think it's boring as shit. And maybe
those two girls that fought before Ronda and Holly Holmes, like, they had a pretty fucking brutal fight too, and that was like an all out like boxing brawl.
Oh yeah, Joanna JJ.
I love that fight. Yeah,
yeah. She did fantastic. Yeah, these are good fights, man. We're enjoying the fights. We're just not feeling boxing right now.
They were taking blows to the face, and I was like, wow, I haven't seen a boxing match like that. And you know what's funny? It wasn't even in a boxing ring.
Yeah. So we like boxing, but we just like real boxing mixed in with our martial arts. But thanks for the comment, you know, cool participation and all that. But no, we're not salty about it. Actually, if anything, dude, you sound more salty about the fact that no one gives a fuck about boxing nowadays than we sound about the fact that Ronda lost.
I give a fuck about boxing. If they come out with a boxing game, I'll go pick it up.
Oh yeah, I'll play the next Mike Tyson's punch out. I'm waiting for that sequel.
They call them fight night nowadays.
Oh man, no, but we kid, Tom. We kid, you know. Do you, man? If you like boxing, do you? If you want, hey, suggest that. We'll talk about more boxing on the pre-show. You missed your opportunity to suggest new things for the pre-show.
Yeah. So shame on you.
See, if anything, he's salty about that you guys didn't send in anything. Not about Holly Holmes beating Ronda Rousey at all.
Oh, boy. Whatever.
Well, to quote Stewie, your pain sustains me.
Yeah. I'll recommend the Good Boxing Podcast if anyone ever gives enough of a fuck to make one. In other news, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about stables for obvious reasons.
Yes.
We seem to be in a rebirth, a boom period, as Jared puts it, of stables. You know, we're having stables everywhere, and we seem to be back to the traditional five people number, because I'm hearing that the Wyatts, rumors that they're going to bring a girl in for the Wyatts.
Sister Abigail, maybe?
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. And then the League of Nations, they already have Lana, which will be her fifth.
I didn't even think about Lana as part of that stable, but I guess you're right.
Well, she's with Rusev, and they're getting married, so that puts her in by default. It's almost like Terry Reynolds with the Radicals or China with DX.
Right.
You know, They always have that fifth person that's like the valet. So I'm starting to see that, and it's cool that we're having these five people things going on again. It's the rebirth of stables, and I think that's a very excellent thing that's been missing from wrestling. And they're also doing it right, too, where although they're a stable, they all also have their own individual storylines going on. I've heard a lot of people say that it didn't really make sense that on one hand we have Rusev, who's coming out with the League of whatever the hell they call the League of Nations, and then on the other hand we have him coming out with the whole Lana situation with Ryback. But I'm thinking about it, and that's not very different from when the Radicals were around, and
that actually mentioned that I didn't like the whole split thing. And I don't think it's more of just like everybody has their own thing. It's pretty much what they said on the commentary tonight with the whole Rusev, Lana, Ryback thing. It's just specifically their storyline that's pretty fucking unbearable.
No, everybody has their own storylines too, because Del Rio has his own storyline with Swagger going on and with Zeb Coulter going on. Everyone has their own storyline. And again, it reminds me of the Radicals, the way we had the four Radicals, but we also had Eddie Guerrero, who was doing things with Latino Heat in China, and we had Perry Saturn doing things with Moppy and Raven and with Terry Reynolds, and everyone had their own storylines going on, but they were still the Radicals and they still came together. You know, DX
little did we know, Benoit had the most radical storyline for us at the end.
I see what you did there. But you know, we had DX, who, you know, at the same time the Outlaws were feuding for the tag titles, that didn't necessarily overlap with what was happening with Triple H in China. So I think it's cool that we have the League of Nations, and then separately these individuals are also doing things. It's stables done right. And so far, I think that's the one thing that WWE is doing that's looking really good lately. Put people in stables. Help them put each other over. That's what the New Day did. They're sort of learning from the New Day. Everyone in that stable put each other over, and now they're all over. That's the purpose of a stable. So I'm glad that now we're going back in the stable direction, you know, where it's like everyone do something like that. Get together with a group of guys. Make a team. I think the team combat is something that WWE has over most things going on nowadays. So I think it's something they should run with. I'm very excited about it. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I marked out tonight when Team Bad won their match and the New Day came out, and it looked like they were forming like a little extended stable. And I even like how the commentary team mentioned that it wasn't just like, as you would say, they didn't just pop in like in the Batman Superman trailer. They made mention that this has been a thing that's been going on social media for a while. And we've seen stuff like Sasha Banks on Up, Up, Down, Down. And, like, I follow them on Instagram, so I see when they take the pictures together and the stuff that they mention with Team Bad dressed as the New Day and New Day dressed as Team Bad. So I like that whole dynamic right there.
Yeah, it's very well done. It's very smart.
Yeah, I geeked out during that part, too.
Yeah, well, it was really cool, really cool. But overall, yeah, I'm glad for the stable stuff. I'm glad that we have that going on. Hopefully they keep building on it. The other news... Yeah, the other news is the WWE Network shows are sort of booming now. They put a lot of old school wrestling on there now. Really excited about this. We have AWA, the old AWA promotion. There's Mid-South Wrestling on there now. There's Smoky Mountain Wrestling. There's NWA WCW, and then there's Global Wrestling Federation. So it's really cool to think about that, because that's Bill Watts' old federation up there, and Cornette used to run Smoky Mountain. There's so many different things. Like, there's a lot of history now on the WWE Network.
So yeah, I don't know when I'll ever have time to watch all of that stuff, but I'm definitely going to try and check it out for, like, I guess the next couple of years.
But yeah, you definitely get your $9.99 worth. I would recommend anybody, when you get an opportunity, check this stuff out. It's really cool. I'm really excited that it's there. You know, our buddy Phil Rea over on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, he covers all this kind of stuff constantly. So He'll be your expert, if you will, on the old school stuff, but I'm going to definitely look at a lot of it. There's some stuff on there I've never seen just to educate myself a little bit. So if you don't have the network yet, just, you know, check it out. Take your free month and check these out, man. AWA Mid-South Smoky Mountain. Crazy. There's a lot of good libraries there. That's our history.
So you got me sold.
Better than WWE got you sold.
They're doing a good job at promoting it, though. They're doing an excellent job at promoting the network, though, if anything.
Yeah, because, you know, you could have somebody buy the shirt for Christmas.
So we're hearing rumors that Jeff Hardy is going to be going to WWE because he told people at a WrestleCade event this past weekend that he's more open to a return to WWE than he's ever been in the past. And that one of the things that kept him from returning to the company was the heavy work schedule. But now he's more open to working their schedule. It might not happen for many months to come, but the door is open now where it's possible that we will see Jeff Hardy, which I never doubted in my mind that Hardy would definitely come and finish up his career where he's supposed to in WWE.
Mm-hmm. Even like the whole thing with Kurt Angle, when Kurt Angle says he's retiring from TNA. I like how he worded it. He's retiring from TNA, which means he's still leaving it open that if WWE wants to call him and bring him back for a Royal Rumble or something, he can show up. And I think that's probably around the time we're going to see Jeff Hardy if this all goes through also. You'll just see him randomly pop up as that secret superstar from the past in the Rumble.
Yeah, that's definitely possible. Definitely would be interesting to see a Hardy Boy reunion maybe.
I mean, that is how we ended up with the Dudleys, right? Bubba popped up, and then a couple of months later, we got the Dudley boys back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Neville, who's getting a possible reboot, which that was sort of teased also tonight, where The Miz keeps approaching him, offering to help him, take him under his wing, change his image and stuff. So you might get that Mighty Mouse that everyone's been anticipating. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because they are... Yeah, because they are talking about changing his gimmick around. So get ready.
You know, it's funny. I thought nothing of it because I remember the last time we saw Miz do this was in the storyline with Naomi and Jimmy Uso. And I think Jimmy Uso whooped his ass and nothing came from it.
Hmm. Well, something's going to come for it possibly then. You know? In other news, we have Jay Lethal, who's possibly also going to be jumping to NXT. WWE's interested in signing him. Right now, he's still the current Ring of Honor champion, but when his contract expires, they want to bring him over. And now they're talking also about Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett and everyone else jumping over as well. So we'll
I know those guys, Maria Kanellis, Mike Bennett, and Matt Taven, they've been interested in going over, well, going back to WWE. What do you think about Lethal? Do you think he'll make the jump or he'll stay with Ring of Honor?
What do you mean going back to WWE? Mike Bennett wasn't in WWE.
Well, I mean, Maria was previously there, and the whole thing that we reported in the past was they were interested in him, but not so much in her because of the politics, supposedly with the Bellas, that the Bellas didn't want her back.
Yeah, but she'll be going back, but this will be their first time. But yeah, they are interested in bringing over the whole kingdom.
See, I definitely see them making the jump, yeah. But again, back to Lethal, do you think Lethal will take the jump, or will he stay loyal to Ring of Honor?
I think anyone would take the jump, especially someone in Lethal's position. When his contract's up, why not? They would probably encourage him to take that jump, if anything. It'd be foolish not to.
I don't know, man. Like Sting had the offer many years ago to come to WWE, and he didn't go. Like, everybody's thinking, their logic of thinking is different.
Yeah, but everyone's logic of thinking is money. And Sting had money when he made that decision. These people are being given an opportunity of their life. They're not going to turn that down. No one's going to turn that down. Like comparing like a 50-year-old man whose whole career is behind him to these young guys who still have a chance to go to WWE, like there really is no comparison. If the opportunity was there, not only do I think he would take it, I think that Ring of Honor would think he's foolish to not take a chance to just be up in the main spotlight. And if it didn't work out and he comes back, they now have someone with more credibility. So it one hand feeds the other in this situation. I'm sure
how I would do it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would take it though.
That's how Tommaso Ciampa's doing it right now.
Mm-hmm. And as one person goes in, another person comes out because Sami Callihan, a.k.a. Solomon Crowe, apparently he requested his release from WWE so that he could revamp his current image because he wasn't happy with the way he was progressing in NXT, which led to him wanting to leave. And he wants to reinvent himself on the indies.
So I was about to say, couldn't he have stayed in NXT and reinvented himself? But,
No, not if he wants to do it on the indies. He can't.
Yeah. Like, you can't knock him for that. Like, we had... It was MVP who asked for his release many, many years ago to go and reinvent himself in Japan.
Yeah, and then he failed at it. But this guy, on the other hand,
God, man.
It's being reported that he left on good terms, so there's always a chance for him to come back in the future. So good for him.
Yeah,
very
good luck, Sammy.
We'll be cheering for you, buddy.
Not me. I got nothing positive to say.
In other news, I'm hearing this whole Dewey Foley thing that's going on, right?
Yeah, that shit makes me feel old, man.
Yeah, Dewey Foley, son of Mick Foley, has joined the WWE creative team, and he'll start working for the company after the holiday season. And before joining the company, he posted writing samples containing a lot of storyline ideas for the company. And then Mick Foley released a statement on it because there was a lot of heat for it, or there was just a lot of comments going around. So he released a statement here saying that it seems that his son Dewey's hiring by WWE has caused some people to question the honesty or intentions of a few of his recent Facebook posts. From what he can gather, the criticism has fallen into one of two camps. One camp saying that he was critical of WWE's recent creative direction in order to open up an opportunity for his son to join the team, and the other camp saying that he praised the past episodes of Raw as some sort of thank you for them hiring his son. Then that if he had arranged for some type of high-paying piece of cake job for him in the company, you know, he didn't do that. Just basically denying all of these things. And then he said that his son was hired 2 months ago by WWE Creative and will begin working with the company in January, and that he would have started earlier, but that him and his son both felt that it was important for him to fulfill his commitment that he made to the college that employed him as the director of a residence hall, and that he could have merely explained that this was his dream job and possibly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but he chose to stay because it was the right thing and because Foley told him that deep down, Mr. McMahon would respect him as a man of his word. And his son was not given the job because of his last name. He earned it. He earned it by working for hundreds of hours in solitude with no compensation to prove his writing skills and mind for the business. And there's no piece of cake jobs in WWE. And that ESPN's Jonathan Coachman said in his time in WWE, you're expected to bring it every day. And that his son will do his best to bring it every day. He'll be working long hours in a thankless, difficult job for entry-level money the way it should be. And that there's also been talk of his daughter joining WWE as a backstage interviewer, and that he certainly hopes that that turns out to be the case. But as of now, that's all just talk. And that the hiring of his son in September by WWE has had no bearing on any of his posts about the company, be they negative or positive, and that he's both puzzled and insulted to think that some wrestling fans have become so jaded and cynical that they could read a few of these heartfelt Facebook posts or listen to his podcast with Stone Cold and doubt the sincerity of his words, and that not everything in wrestling or life is an angle or a work. And he loves WWE, and he literally began a meeting with Triple H 2 years ago by saying that he loves this company and he loves it now, and that no matter what happens during the course of this meeting, he'll love it when he walks out the door. So, you know, he's basically saying that this guy earned it. His son earned the spot there.
I mean, good for him. I still feel old as fuck. I remember the first time I even knew who Dewey Foley was when they had the infamous the Kane Dewey promo that he cut back in the day.
Mm. And then Dewey tweeted. Yeah. And then Dewey tweeted and he said, don't worry about me and a possible job with WWE. I'm just one person. Instead, let's think about the families who have lost loved ones. And then Mick Foley tweeted, and he also, this was after last week's Raw, and he said, I enjoyed this Raw. I asked them to give me a reason to keep watching, and they did. I think it was a good night for women's wrestling. And I think that's the comment that made people think, oh, it's just because they hired Dewey, which was not the case at all.
Okay.
Jericho did an interview with What Culture. I don't know if you guys follow What Culture on YouTube. I do.
Never heard of it.
No, never heard of it.
Here's a snippet from the interview.
Is about the Undisputed title. So I was wondering if you give us like a bit of background knowledge on that. Like how long was it before the event, Vengeance, that you knew it was going to be you? And was that always the plan? And how kind of down to the wire was the kind of decision-making on that?
I don't know. Like I wrote a couple chapters about that in my second book because it was really, I found out about day of the show, you know, literally that afternoon. And I'd heard maybe a couple rumors about it here and there, but you never know for sure. And I'd heard rumors that other people were going to get it as well. So it was not a big planned thing that you might expect where there was like, you know, plans drawn out and dates and all that sort of stuff. It was just whether it was a last minute decision or whether it was something that was in the plans for a while, I knew about it that afternoon.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was basically it. And that's why whenever you find, you know, people that, win titles or whatever, they'll have their family in the front row or friends in the front row. I didn't have anybody there because I never knew anything about it until that afternoon, exactly what was going to happen.
I mean, it was just coming off the tail end of the invasion angle. I mean, was the invasion angle supposed to kind of climax there at Survivor Series, or were there plans?
I don't know, dude, I think you know a lot more about it than I do from what it sounds like. When you're actually there, you don't really know what's going on day by day. So I have no idea if anything was supposed to happen. I just know I was just show up this week. What are we doing? Okay, what do we do next week? We show up and find out for that. So I don't think there was ever a real overall plan from one to lead to the other. And if there was, I certainly didn't know about it.
At what stage in your career do you think that you could start like kind of dictating where it was that you want your character to go? At what point did you sort of feel comfortable in like either WCW or WWF saying like, well, I know who Chris Jericho is and I feel like maybe this is the wrong way to go? Do you ever butt heads with creative in that way?
Well, I mean, you don't really have that right to until you earn the respect.
Oh, cool.
So I would say probably 2008 is when I could really start, you know, figuring out what I want to do and have a lot of say in my storylines and angles. Before that, you really just do what you're told. And if you don't like it, you can off. You know what I mean? And that's basically it. So, and anybody that tells you differently is not telling the truth, because it really is, until you earn the respect of Vince McMahon, you don't have any leverage. You don't. And you either do it or you don't. And if you don't do it, then you end up either not in the company anymore, or you work your way down the card. So, and that's just the nature of the game. So it's not so much, you know, standing up and being a rebel and saying, this is what I'm going to do. It's more like, okay, well, how can I make this as good as possible? And then once you do that long enough, making everything good, then you earn respect, and then you can start kind of interjecting and saying, well, here's my ideas and here's what I want to do. But don't kid yourself. Vince still always has the final say to this day. No one else is in charge of the company. It's Vince McMahon for every decision from bottom to top.
Speaking of your 2008 feud, that you were involved in the last TV-14 pay-per-view, the last properly TV-14 sanctioned match. Now, some people have come out, for example, I'm thinking of Batista and Mick Foley, saying that they think that the TV-PG era is a little bit restrictive. Do you agree?
No. I think if you're a good performer, you make it good no matter what the rules are. Hmm. You know, I don't have to go out there and say son of a bitch and get color and dump, you know, outhouses full of shit on a Vince McMahon to get over. I don't have to do that. And I think those guys might feel that way, but I think they're both great performers and they can make it work as well. So you, once again, your job as a performer is to take what you're given and make it work. And sometimes there's certain restrictions that you have, and sometimes those restrictions aren't there, but it really doesn't matter. You still have to make it work. That's your job. If you're handed a script in a Steven Spielberg movie, mm-hmm. and the script calls you to, you know, dance up and down on one foot in a clown suit, and you say no, then Steve goes, okay, fine, and then hires somebody else to do it. And it's the same type of thing in wrestling. People take it way too seriously sometimes. And if you're good and you're a good performer, you can make anything work. And I've subscribed to that for 20 years.
Yeah, I think I agree with him there. You see where he basically says a lot of the control's in the superstar's hands.
He's totally right with the whole thing where he says where you don't have to go out there and say son of a bitch and do all this crazy shit to get a response from the fans. Stardust or Cody Rhodes, whatever you want to call him by, he's a perfect example of that, where whatever gimmick they gave him, he went out there and he made it work for himself.
Exactly. There's always an opportunity to make things work for yourself. It's a little bit difficult, you know, and it's not always fair, but the opportunity is always there.
I mean, Adam Rose, another one, he's struggling and it seems to be working because he got a little vignette on at the end of Raw there tonight. So somebody must like where his gimmick is going.
Mm-hmm. Not me, though.
With the rose bush or the rose patch, whatever the hell it was called.
They're just trying to give the guy something.
I liked it. It got a chuckle out of me.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
Got a mouthful of something to say? Let the guys know. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. TalkBrunch.com. Served hot.
All right, well, in other news, Tough Enough contestant Daria Baronado, she made her debut on Thursday's house show in Orlando, Florida, and they introduced her as Daria the Jersey Devil, and she was interrupted by Nia Jax and then squashed.
Does that mean that she sat on her, or she legit just beat her with no offense?
No, it was a squash match.
That still doesn't answer the question when it comes to Nia Jax.
You know what I mean.
I do.
And while we're talking Performance Center, we have Josh the Yeti, and they changed his name to Bronson Matthews.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
That sounds like Jobber.
Yeah, it really does. And if anyone's not watching WWE Breaking Ground, you're cheating yourself out of one of the best wrestling experiences that there is. You really get to see that Performance Center and how these guys go. It's everything that Tough Enough should have been. And I feel that this is the show they would have sold to USA after Tough Enough if they weren't hated so much for bringing Tough Enough onto that network. So they wound up leaving.
I'm so glad
I didn't audition
for that show.
I was actually thinking about doing it this year, too.
Oh, you guys. Jesus.
But you know, I feel like I would have been Patrick. I would have got kicked off like real fucking early.
Yeah, me too. Especially for the whole height and age thing, I'd have got kicked out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, not cool. So.
No, not cool at all.
I never hide the fact I'm probably about the same height as Kalisto.
Yeah, I'm a little bit taller than Rey Mysterio.
So Vince Russo was recently on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I want to play a short little clip here pertaining to the ratings on Monday Night Raw.
I can't even be this mad because it's been, about 2 months, a month and a half since you've had Russo news for us. So
all they care about is who's watching the show live. They don't care. And they don't care about DVR numbers. And it makes sense why they don't. Because they know people fast forward through the commercials. So yeah. the DVR numbers mean nothing. This is where Dixie got into the fight with Destination America because she felt that they should have been including in the DVR numbers. Destination America did not care about the DVR numbers. So that's where I think the WWE is going to be an issue and that the changes are going to be made. And I feel it's going to come from the USA network. When USA is looking at what they once were doing with Raw compared to what they're doing now, and who knows what the financials are, but I had somebody tell me, I'm like you. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to get anybody in trouble. But I've heard that there's been some rumblings from USA Network now starting to say, you know what? We may need to get a little bit more edgy. Because USA Network doesn't want to be politically correct. That's not their call. That's coming from the WWE. Look at some of the shows that are on USA Network from 9 to 11 o'clock at night. They're not puppet shows.
Walking Dead's not having any trouble getting advertisers right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's all mandate from WWE. And that's why, I mean, I'm telling you, if it continues to go in this direction, I think we're headed to a showdown between WWE and USA Network. And I think that's where you're going to see some changes.
What do you guys think?
I was going to say for once, it's probably like the second time I kind of sort of agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in what sense?
But the whole thing, it's like the PG thing, it's running dry. They're doing everything that they can with it, and they're seeing the ratings drop. The casual fan or the hardcore fan, we're just not into it. It's time for a change. As Owen Hart used to say, enough is enough, and it's time for a change. Go back to what worked. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It was working fine before. I get why they did the change and they went from when they went to PG, why they had to do it. But the time frame is over now. It's like, go back to the basics. You don't have to, again, making reference to the Batman Superman trailer, you don't have to just throw it in our faces, but you can subtly try to build it up and then like take it from there.
I kind of agree with him because, shoot, going to the live events, it's the atmosphere is nothing compared to what it was before. I mean, shoot, when I first started going to live events, you know, you felt that, you know, rowdy you know, everybody's in it together atmosphere, and that, you know, you could cuss all you wanted, and, you know, you could, you know, basically get your point across as a fan. Now there's so many kids, like little kids around, you know, wearing their little John Cena thing and, you know, the little Ryback shirts, and, you know, they have their parents who are practically looking at you weird, excuse me, looking at me weird because I'm sitting there, you know, cussing my head off, you know, not giving a crap about, you know, who I offend or whatever. You know, I'm just, you know, basically in character the whole entire time with my partner, Sassy, the guy that I work with, you know, and we just go there to vent. And, you know, you got these little kids that are there and they're just like, either bored out of their mind or they're shocked at what's coming out of your mouth. So I say end the whole PG thing. It's pretty much run its course.
Yeah, we've had conversations about this off the air, me and Rick, about like when you go to the live events now, it's literally just all kids all over the place.
It is. And like whenever you're trying to get like chants going and stuff, you might as well just be talking to yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's, you're just like, really?
Yeah, it's like as a fan, you go there to enjoy the experience and you feel out of place, like you're in Bizarro Land, and you just gotta, I guess, awkwardly sit there if you're by yourself or you're with somebody who casually watches and they're not into it. Or if you're there with a large group of other fans, just do your own thing and enjoy your time while you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the one thing that Russo brought up, which is something I haven't really heard brought up much, and I find it a very interesting fact. We don't think about it, but he's right. USA never signed up for this PG shit. They never, the corporation that wants this is only WWE. It stops at WWE's top. It's not like USA is this company that just wants PG shit. Their entire network has stuff like Satisfaction, which is basically like escorting and sex and all kinds of shit happening on that show. Yeah. If you look at, and on every other USA show, everybody has guns.
So, yeah, but you go back to the past and it's like, this isn't like it's a new thing with WWE. Like WWE has been, they've been on USA in the past and they've done their raunchy shit and it's brought high ratings, which is why, it's been so many years. They did leave USA for a point, and when they went back, it was more of like USA probably said, yeah, sure, we'll take you back. We had fun with you guys the last time you were here. Like, can't wait for the good times in the future. And like you said, they got something they didn't sign up for. And now they're probably sitting there like, what the fuck is this? Like, there needs to be a change.
Yeah, so they're probably going to have that issue where USA is going to say, listen, spice things up. We want more, you know, lingerie matches and evening gown matches.
Yeah, remember those days when Sable was coming out with pasties? We don't want Sable back out here with pasties, but you got some new divas. Like, send them out here with some pasties.
We want the story to be that the reason why Ziggler and Rusev are feuding is because he fucked Lana behind his back, not just because they went on a vacation. We want it to be like Edge, Lita, and Matt Hardy. We want it to be a blood feud. And I think that's what WWE's missing.
Nipple slips during that on live television.
Yeah, and I think that's what WWE's missing, a good old-fashioned blood feud. People don't like to say it. It's a taboo thing to say, but that's something that I think brought the business to life was those blood feuds where it was like, wow, these guys are going to kill each other, you know, and we don't have that. Usually it's more like, I want that title or I want that ice cream or just something petty, you know, like it's never really something that would ruin the other person's life like back in the day. And I think
you say
we
that
need
jokingly, but
like
that was like a CM Punk thing at one point with the ice cream.
Yeah, I want my ice cream bars or whatever. So,
yeah, you know, there's always something petty to argue about. Like I said, and I mentioned this promo before, but I knew that we were going in a more childish direction the day that Johnny Morrison was doing a promo. This is one of my favorite things ever. You know about this. Johnny Morrison was doing a promo, and he's doing an interview backstage, rather. And suddenly behind him, like Bugs Bunny, Jeff Hardy comes out, and he sets up like a canvas, you know, like a literal fucking canvas that someone like the Afro dude would use to paint the picture. And he pulls off some buckets of paint, and he starts painting behind Morrison while Morrison's doing the promo. And I'm like, what is this? And I want to just tune into the Looney Tunes. And then Morrison turns on, he looks at Jeff Hardy, he's like, you think that's funny? You know, and then Morrison kicks like the painting over that Hardy was working on. And Hardy cries out, my painting! And then like he throws the paint at him and the two of them start fighting. And that was the beginning of that feud. And I just remember thinking, that's really how this began? Like, what are we going to do at the pay-per-view when they have to show the video package of what made this whole thing come to be? Like, is it going to be just that in black and white in slow motion? Like...
And you're like, my painting.
This is the moment we've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. It all started with a painting.
Yeah, right at the point where he kicks the painting down, it turns black and white. You know the way I like to do that, right?
That's where you get the slow-mo.
And that's right, yes, where you get the slowdown. And you see Morrison looking defiantly down at the painting he just kicked over, and like Hardy looking up at him angry and shit.
All distraught, and then distraught turns to anger, and then it becomes, yeah, you see what I mean?
No good. But you see, look at that. Versus, I fucked Lita. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, completely two different ratings right there. Two completely different ratings. So, you know, Russo's right. USA may just start saying, we need to put some more shit on TV. People don't want to hear things that are, like, fluffed down. People are gravitating more towards realistic stuff, more towards open, normal stuff. So, that's something that they may have to start thinking about.
It was funny tonight to hear Tamina go, and we're going to kick there, and then Sasha cuts off and goes, we're PG now. We're PG.
We can't even say ass. Austin used to say ass every other sentence. It wasn't which makes even no bad sense. When he it's, said it's ass.
Certain superstars can say ass. Like John Cena can say it whenever he wants to, and like I guess The Rock can say it whenever he wants to.
It might still be the war zone that we don't get warned about anymore, where 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock is a different rating.
But then
the rating doesn't really go up in this version anymore. It's just that I guess they may have permission to do more edgy stuff. I don't know. I don't know what half the reason shit happens anymore. But while we're on ratings, Thursday's SmackDown, which I guess we can say it's okay because it was Thanksgiving, they only did 1.652 million viewers, which was down from the 2.229 million. But it's still not that low, and it still kept its number one spot on cable television that night. So that goes to show
it could have been TNA numbers, you know?
Yeah, even on Thanksgiving, SmackDown with low ratings is still the number one spot for sci-fi.
And yeah, that's the reason why. Blur to me.
Yeah, as much as people say that SmackDown is like this bastard of a show now, it pulls numbers that fucking Impact jerks off to. You know?
I love your wordplay there.
And one of the NBC Universal representatives said WWE programming delivers one of the most massive line audiences as cable on a weekly basis and is consistently a top performer for our networks. And this was in response to all of the bad stuff they've been getting lately about ratings dropping. And that was basically their way of saying, listen, their ratings may be dropping, but they're still fucking higher than anything else we got by far. You know, that's like fighting Mike Tyson in his 40s as opposed to fighting Mike Tyson's in his 30s. You're still going to get your ass kicked. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, people can say that their numbers are dropping, but the USA guy out right there said it. Look, their numbers may be dropping, but it's still really, really high.
It's the best shit you got on your station.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can put that in your casserole or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And X-Pac had an audio. I have an audio here of X-Pac where he's talking about the fact that wrestlers need to just start turning down bad ideas in order to move the product forward. I'll just let you hear this.
You know, Click Rules documentary was a great documentary.
I've only seen the parts that they showed on the network.
I haven't watched it.
They never sent me one.
Oh, you have to. I'm gonna have to go buy one. It's very good. I mean, if we look at wrestling over a 30-year arc, without rubbing anybody up the wrong way.
Whatever.
The Click kind of won, right? I mean, if wrestling was a game, you can look back at that and say the Click won. Do you find that certain people from that period, the mid-90s, that you bump into on independent shows, do you get any of that residual animosity towards you? Because from where I sit, it never seems to be directed at you, actually.
Supposedly they hate Scott and Kevin, Sean, Paul. They liked me for some reason. Most of everybody still liked me.
That seems to be what everyone says.
Me, they at least like didn't think I was, you know, an asshole or a prick like they thought of the other four of us. So
I mean, why you've not had anything where anyone sort of said anything, or you really have? Because that's one of the biggest wrestling stories of our generation, the people that watch this show. So it's crazy to think that you've kind of just gone through that period and nobody.
I was always like, because I love people, like, and I always have, like, so. I might have had a little bit of a different mentality when it came to the competition in the locker room than the other three and then the other four eventually. I was a little less selfish than they were, you know. So, and I mean, don't get me wrong, there were times when I was selfish. I knew when, you know, when I came back to WWF, I didn't let anybody walk on me. You know, I was a different person when I came back. So I was more equipped to say, I'm not doing that. That sucks. You know, so, and that's what, honestly, guys need to start doing a little bit more of. Guys that have talent, that are bringing something to the table, if something sucks and they think it sucks, they need to start, you know, I might get heat for saying this, but they need to start saying that. This sucks.
It's interesting because a lot of the people who have done really well in the wrestling business do say that. They
yes.
do say they need to stand up. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's right. I guess people don't want to get fired, but the smart thing to do would be to say when something sucks, right?
Adam Rose. I don't know how far his gimmick would have gone today with the whole Leo Kruger thing, but I feel like he would have been more successful as Leo Kruger than he was as Adam Rose. He probably would have had like an IC title run or something.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
They could have eventually pulled him in as another member of the Wyatt family if he stuck with the whole Leo Kruger thing.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Did you guys hear, because I remember you were just talking, Jen, about going to live events and the energy being different.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys I know where this is going.
Did you guys hear about the banned events now? I mean, the banned items now when you go into WWE events?
Yes, I saw the list of banned items that you can't bring into the arena.
I thought this was
the Del Rio thing. No, I didn't. I did not hear about this. What are the items?
Okay, and this is as a result, and yes, this is about the Del Rio thing. It's all connected.
It ties in with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, as a result of the things that have been going on at these events now, you're no longer allowed to bring bags and briefcases, bags of any kind and briefcases, backpacks of any kind. Women's purses are not allowed either. You can bring small clutch bags, if you know what that is. Those are those little purses that you can't drape it over your arm. It's like a little hand purse.
The things that can only probably hold like a lipstick or something.
Right, right.
I have never had one in my entire life. And if I did, I'd probably put a brick in it.
Okay. Well, that's the only thing you can bring. Small clutch bags. No bags, briefcases, backpacks, or purses. No video cameras or recording devices. No laser pointers or noisemakers, which is obvious.
I can't bring my cell phone. That's a recording device.
I was thinking the same thing. It's almost like they're covering their asses in a sense that maybe with the right people, they could just tell you not to bring it. You know, weapons of any kind, obviously, alcoholic beverages, obviously, illegal drugs or paraphernalia, obviously. Selfie sticks, ironically, you can't bring selfie sticks.
I'll be like, but laptop. Fucking Tyler Breeze is a loud one. What the fuck?
Yeah, he's got a fuzzy one.
Yeah, right? Laptop computers or tablets. Years ago,
Who's
I used to bring
that to a show.
Yeah, years ago, I used to bring my Nexus tablet.
Right, I take my tablet everywhere I go. Like when I come to your house, I always have my tablet.
Yeah, so I used to bring it to events also because it's convenient to have. But since then, I think now my newer phone is better than my last tablet, so I don't. But it's still, that would have sucked to not be able to bring a tablet. And yeah, obviously you can't bring coolers, no kind of luggage, which is really weird for Times Square because some people are literally coming off of Grand Central and going straight to WWE events. Sometimes people have luggage there because they're either coming in or going out of town and they're catching the show. That's fucking bullshit. So luggage, no camera bags. And if you wear masks, they can't be general masks anymore. Only WWE brand masks. So no random lucha mask, which I usually see in the crowd a lot. People like to wear random lucha masks, but you can't do that. So.
Okay. I'm glad I only bring my cell phone.
Yeah. So to this I say, all right, WWE, congratulations. You've officially just won your first boycott from me. I won't go to any more WWE events. It's really just that simple at this point. And step two will be to
cancel. I really did want to go to the show that they're going to be having after Christmas. But yeah, if I can't bring anything, like what's the point?
Yeah.
Like you can't come in with that belt, but it's holding up my pants.
They're supposed to tell you to put it back in your car, but not everyone's going to my car, especially us where we're going to be going to Manhattan.
Right, right. Like if I was going there, I wasn't going with the car. I was going to get there with the train. How am I going to put it back in my car if I have no car?
Yeah, so very easy. Just I'll save myself the headache of paying for something inconvenient, and I just won't go to any events. So they really need to start thinking carefully about pleasing someone because it seems like everyone's pissed off. Like there's restrictions everywhere. You're not allowed to do this. You're restricted from doing that. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't bring this. You can't eat that. I just feel like the company at this point has become almost like school, you know? You know, like I've been to events and then security sits on their asses and watches the event. You know, like I've seen them have beers and stuff. You know, so maybe if the security weren't so, such lackadaisical fucks, we wouldn't be in this situation. So what they should ban is incompetent security guards. Ban lazy fucks.
Yeah, quit hiring mall cops, you know? I mean, shit, or like run-a-cops or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, what is it? Every time we have instances like what happened to Del Rio or what happened to Roman Reigns earlier this year, it's because security's sitting on their ass and somebody in the crowd is going, yo, I think I can get away with it. The security guy's not looking my way. I can do this.
Yeah, I've seen very chill security. Very, very chill security.
Oh, yeah.
And I do understand WWE on the flip side of things, even though they're pissing me off, you know, collectively they're pissing me off because this is just another thing on top of all the other things we're hearing about. People getting, you know, removed because they're saying, you know, cocky pricks and trivial things and just petty shit going on with them, you know. And then to top it off, now the bags and luggage, it just feels like there's always a restriction. There's always a problem. Whenever we're talking negatively, like it's them in the spotlight. And I'm just not really liking that. But the problems aren't exclusive to them only. And I don't want to make it seem that way because, as I said, hashtag it's all connected. Del Rio was attacked this past Saturday during his match with Rey Gonzalez at the WWC lockout event in Bayman, Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. Did you
saw the footage.
Okay. Jen, did you see the footage?
No, I didn't get a chance to see the footage, but I had somebody tell me about it, and I was like, holy shit.
Like, one minute he's fighting, and then the next minute they're just like, yoink, and they grab him from over the barricade.
Yeah, they're in like a yellow shirt. From what I could make out of the video, the guy in the yellow shirt, like, Del Rio rolls out, and I guess to catch a breather. And then, like, the guy just reaches over and just starts, like, pummeling Del Rio. And Del Rio turns back and he's pummeling at him till security rushes over and pulls him apart. And the report says that he was escorted out of the arena instantly.
Crazy shit.
Yeah. Do you want to see the footage, Jen?
Yeah.
Sure. See, that's the fan grabbing him right there and hitting him. And that's it. They got him away there.
Damn. That was insane.
No, it's rough, dude. I'm telling you. So they have legitimate reasons to be worried when you can fucking yank somebody, you know, and start attacking. You don't want that to happen in WWE. That looks even worse out here. But, you know, it's just becoming a little crazy with the bags, briefcases, purses, and stuff. Like, women carry purses. And especially if they're coming with kids.
They might have their pepper spray in there to protect them from these crazy-ass motherfuckers who are throwing briefcases and attacking people for no reason.
Yeah, but there's also...
Just be like me, have a pocket knife.
Yeah, but like if people are traveling with their kids, how could you possibly not expect them to have one single bag with them? I couldn't imagine. You know what? It's almost like I don't want to, you know, boycott to spite them, even though I almost do. But it's another one of those things where it's like... I almost can't strategically think of a way to go to Times Square and not have a single bag on me.
I didn't even think about the thing with the kids, but like, yeah, let's say you have your kid, like a 3-year-old, they're into WWE. I don't know at what age kids get potty trained or whatever, but say your kid's not potty trained and you got to keep checking their diaper and you're just starting this the show's just starting and you're sitting there. The kid like pees or like takes a shit in their diaper and then you gotta like get up during an intermission and go change them. You're assed out because you weren't allowed to carry your bag with your stuff to change your kid.
That's crazy. That has to be revised. They're always one extreme or the other, extremely stupid or extremely strict.
Yeah, because like what if somebody goes in there who has like a disability or something and they have a backpack with their stuff in it?
That's
they gonna kick them out?
Yeah, no, there has to be some sort of, this can't be as extreme as it sounds.
Yeah.
But it does sound really damn extreme, I'll tell you that much.
Yes, a little bit.
So, back to some audio bites here. We have Ricardo Rodriguez. Haven't heard from him in a while, right?
Yeah, I was about to say, oh shit, still wrestling?
Yeah, he did an interview with WrestleZone Radio. This is like a 35-minute long thing, so we're not going to play the whole thing. I'll just play like a quick clip of it here. But if you guys want to listen to the whole thing at WrestleZone Radio, I found it on SoundCloud, same place where we are. So just go there and just type WrestleZone and find it. But yeah, this is a little snippet here of this Ricardo Rodriguez
obviously
stuff.
The other big story in the world of pro wrestling right now that you have, I would say, some tie to, some knowledge about, would be the return of Alberto Del Rio to the WWE.
Yes.
Now, obviously, you were alongside Alberto for many years in the WWE, beloved, I think at points more liked than even Del Rio. Now, Was there ever any talk of you coming back with Alberto for this run?
Here's the thing. Like, with myself and Alberto, like, it wasn't just like an on-screen friendship. Like, we're legit friends. We talked to each other a lot. He had told me, you know, he didn't tell me when, but we had chit-chatted. We were chit-chatting one day about maybe, you know, like, hey, you know, wouldn't it be, you know, cool if this happens or that happens. So, like, between me and him, yeah, we had talked about it. And he had said that, you know, he was working on something, but he wasn't sure. He didn't want to jinx it, so he didn't want to say anything yet. Hello, coffee, if I kicked in. sure enough, like, we were done training, and then I see all over my Twitter feed, you know, that he came back, and I was like, oh, you know, and there was never any resentment. There was never any, like, oh, you know, he betrayed me, or, hey, you know, he didn't tell me. Like, there was never any of that. Like, it really wasn't. It was more so, like, I was happy for him. And there was legit joy when I found out that he came back. And then later on, when I saw that he won the title, there was never any form of jealousy. So, like, that's my brother. You know, I love him. He's my brother. So, like, I was happy for him. But as far as, like, talks with me, no, not really. No.
Were you surprised that he did come back to the WWE? Obviously, he left in kind of there were controversial circumstances around his leaving. Were you, and I mean, he had said some things publicly as well about the way he felt the WWE backstage atmosphere. But were you surprised to see him back in the WWE?
Honestly, no, just because, I mean, I've been in wrestling long enough where I've seen, you know, people, they leave on certain notes and then they come back, you know, like, so I wasn't surprised. We all know the motto of never say never in wrestling, right? Right. So, like, I wasn't surprised. And like I said, like, me and him had, myself and I, or whatever, myself and him, whatever, grammar, police.
Sure.
It's too early. We had discussed it and we had talked about it. So, like, that's my brother. Like, I don't know how to stress that part enough.
Sure.
I wasn't surprised. I was happy for him.
Ricardo, man. Sad that they never brought him back, right?
I thought you were going to say something. I had a joke. I thought they were, like, I was going to say they didn't bring him back because he was too fat.
they did say that. Like, I heard that the weight was the problem, right? Wasn't there something
with
his weight?
That is why they terminated him, because he was doing the old mass Lucha Libre thing down at NXT. I believe they actually brought him up for some SmackDowns also. And the guy can move, but he did look pretty terrible. Like, you could see he was packing on the pounds, but he could still move in the ring. And I heard that is ultimately why they got rid of him. What I did find funny about the interview is he just kept pointing out that he had no resentment. I don't know if people have been coming to him. So he used this interview as a point to just pretty much get it out there that, like, look, I don't have any resentment. But I found it weird that he felt that he had to say that if people weren't coming at him and saying that already. Like, if you feel like you had to say that and nobody addressed you about it, then secretly there must have been some resentment, but that's just me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one.
I guess if you look at it that way, I almost didn't look at it that way until now, but if you really do read between the lines,
you,
I don't even want
to. You know me, I like to overanalyze shit sometime.
Yeah, no, because when I first heard it, I just heard a regular interview, but you're right. Like,
I mean, you know what? Again, like what he said, never say never. After this whole, because clearly Del Rio is pulling away from his whole alliance with Zeb Coulter. I'm pretty sure Zeb's going to go back to Swagger. Once the League of Nations things falters out, who knows? There may be a space for Ricardo to come back and be the personal ring announcer.
Maybe. Last week and say, meanwhile, in the League of Nations.
Oh, God. In other news, back to the Melina drama, since she's back in the spotlight. There was this rumor that Lucha Underground replaced Melina with Taya Valkyrie because Melina was said to be extremely difficult to deal with. And on that subject, Melina said, I love wrestling, but I never thought I'd see this much crazy from people where they'd start rumors and such long after I've stopped wrestling. During my career, all I wanted was to be around people that loved what I loved and make magic with them. I'm not even in wrestling anymore, and people still keep fabricating stories of this evil villain of a woman. It's awesome to think that my on-screen character was that convincing, but in actuality, they're just crazy. And I'll just say that I don't think that WWE is the reason why we know she's crazy and the bitch. Not speculating. We know she's crazy. This is no gimmick. The fact that WWE released her for being a bitch was hint number one. The psycho tweets in the past that I've read myself, where she implied that she would interrupt matches long after they released her from the company, was hint number two. The ring rat stories was hint number three. Her showing up backstage with Morrison only a day after being released and acting like nothing and having to be told to leave was hint number four. And her taking pictures of Morrison's Cialis recently, his medication, uploading that to the internet, was hint number five. None of those are wrestling related things. I don't think I'm judging her on wrestling. What about you?
The follow-up on all of this, though, is Morrison actually came to her defense. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, did he? No, I did not. What? I got.
Yeah, in a tweet,
I'm really excited to hear this one.
Yeah, yeah. In a tweet, he goes, "Not sure who at Dave Meltzer One's source is, but the source of it, what is it? But the source, if it really exists, is a dumbass."
What does that even mean? The source was her.
Yeah. What?
I'm assuming
that her dumbass.
No,
she was the source. We saw the tweet.
The tweet came from something I'm assuming that Dave Meltzer said before Melina addressed it.
I don't know. Somebody who's listening, investigate on this shit and give us some information. I'm not researching this dick pills of Melina's boyfriend.
The whole buildup is supposed to be Dave Meltzer was the one that originally released the whole statement of as to why Melina was replaced. And then that's where Melina went and said, like, blah, 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 blah. And Morrison pretty much came in as like, yeah, like Dave Meltzer, who supposedly released the news of why she was replaced. Like, they're a dumbass because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Okay, let's just say that they're a dumbass and that's not the reason she got released was for being
difficult. We know it is,
right?
But yeah.
Let's just give them that one as a freebie, right? Can he also tweet and explain why his dick medication wound up on the internet thanks to her?
I like how he like ignored that too.
Address that one. Address that one and the other four or five things that I mentioned. I don't give a shit about whether or not she's difficult. A lot of wrestlers are accused of that, and you know everyone's difficult to someone. So I'm not really even going to judge that, but I'm just saying that whole thing of ha ha ha, this is my character. Like, nah, man, I've seen a lot of weird shit from her. Not buying it. Not buying it at all. I don't know about you. But I completely just don't believe it.
Well, she carries that crazy proudly. I will say that. So,
Jesus,
she definitely does. Like I said, I'm just trying to move on to the next thing. But it's Melina. I guess this time the crazy got a little bit more coverage than usual. But like you said, you've seen shit in the past. This is like a repeated cycle with her.
It is.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll just move right along. Jim Ross's Twitter account was hacked.
Yeah.
Someone logged into his Twitter account earlier and announced that he passed away.
Assholes.
So that was a blast for a lot of people on the internet.
Yeah, because they said like friends and family and stuff. They were in for quite died, a shock.
You know, which is awful. Really terrible thing. And then he tweeted, which is ironic, you know. But so then he tweeted and he says, "Someone hacked my Twitter account this morning and I'm not dead, but I am pissed. Not a good rip, costing me money to repair my PC, etc. Spread the word. Jim Ross is alive and well. Don't have time to die. Thanks to all those that reached out. Sorry for the inconvenience." So, Twitter.
And he was also, Jericho got hacked earlier this year. Booker T before him, now Jim Ross.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are getting hacked. And let's not forget Kurt Angle. He was hacked, right? Right.
Fuck the WWE. Oh, my Twitter was hacked.
I love Kurt, but we know he gets hacked a lot. Anyway, wink, wink. But anyway, so JR also brought up the TNA thing because JR's getting ribbed a lot this weekend because they started a rumor that he's going to be going to TNA just for no reason. And then, he said, more internet BS. Impact Wrestling has a good announced team and doesn't need me, so no. And then after he said that, even more rumors started coming out that he was going to be going to TNA. So then he released like a long statement where he was like, "Whoever started the JR to TNA rumors must have way too much time on their hands. Last I checked, Josh Matthews and the Pope were handling the announcing on TNA just fine. Plus, there isn't the stellar Mike Tenay still on the TNA payroll. And he says, same goes for my tongue and cheek remark about getting coffee for Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino at Ring of Honor pay-per-view and sitting in with them on a show. They too don't need me, but would I make a one-off cameo for wrestling promotion if the stars were all aligned properly? Never say never. The key is one-off, and it would take me some convincing to get me to leave Norman and get on more airplanes.
Very classy response by him, considering didn't he have beef with Josh? Well, I wouldn't even say it was beef, but Josh Matthews talked shit about him on Twitter a couple of months back.
Yeah, Josh Matthews was disrespectful. I don't remember exactly what he said, though. But I was thinking, though, even though we know it's fake, I was thinking, could you imagine, like, JR and TNA, like, all, good God almighty, they paid me.
No, because nothing
paid me.
That happens is that interesting for him to be doing that.
Good God almighty, they paid me. That would be the interesting thing, you know? They paid me on time.
I got my check on time. It's a slobber knocker.
It didn't bounce. Oh, boy. So we move on to Matt Braddock, who did an interview with Busted Open Radio. And it's being reported that he tried a million different times to get over with WWE. And Vince was actually on board with the whole Brad Adam tag team, but that's when he got released. And he said that he badly missed wrestling for 3 years now, and he didn't feel like one of the boys because he wasn't contributing. And he said that you can grab the brass ring in WWE, but there's a right way to do it. And he said that Vince likes when people knock on his door to discuss creative ideas, but there's a stigma about Vince where his door is a lot scarier than he is. And then he said he doesn't know what his future is in wrestling, but that he is interested into getting into the active world as well. And apparently WWE wants to get him because of that Matt Braddock's name too, right?
Why?
I guess because it's...
You already dropped the guy for something so stupid. Just let him go on and live his life.
No, yeah. I guess because it resembles their property too much. Matt Braddock. So they don't want him to... They want to take what little notoriety he built up in WWE before they fucking kick him on the curb.
I honestly thought he was going to go back to being Beef Wellington, but I like the Matt Braddock thing.
But, you know, stories like this where I hear that they're petty enough, like, oh, Matt Braddock, go after that intellectual property. Stories like this, assuming that they're true, it almost confirms the shit that CM Punk says about being fired on his wedding day and little petty stories that he talks about. When you hear things like that, where it's like, really, you're going to go after him because his name is Matt Braddock? Seriously?
Yeah, we've heard stories like this, not only from CM Punk. I've heard it from multiple wrestlers in the past, too.
Yeah, like, grow up.
So it's like, all of these people aren't making these stories up. Like, somebody in the company is being very petty.
Yeah, and he recently spoke with Rolling Stone, and they asked him if he got to sit down with Vince to try to explain his side of it all. And he says he did not get a chance to talk to him before he left. He wanted to, but he didn't get a chance to. And when he came to the back, people seemed split on what he did. Half the locker room didn't think that he should have said that, and the other half didn't see a problem with it. And to him, it's like saying, screw you. He didn't think it was inappropriate at all, especially for a dark match. He was out there trying to work up the crowd. It's not like it was for TV, and he was making fun of the hometown and their football team and talking to them directly. And he was just trying to warm up the crowd. That was his role, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, that's the main thing that bothered me in the whole story. It wasn't like it was something he did on TV, and it was like, you know, it's a PG show. You weren't supposed to say this. It was a dark match.
I guess because they're really family friendly. They even want the product for the kids there. Whatever. I don't want to justify their thinking. Nah.
Like, I remember when I went to a house show a couple of years back, and Paul Heyman, he was like, I'm everybody's favorite self-advocating Jew. And I looked around. I was like, he's allowed to say that? Like, is that okay?
That's fine. You can't call someone a cocky prick or a pricky cock.
I guess.
Anyway, so then they asked him does he like Vince? Does he feel like Vince is more accessible and open-minded than his reputation leads him to believe? And he said that if the reputation is still around, then it's a myth, because he likes guys who knock on his door. He's a creative mastermind, so he likes it when you come and you pitch him an idea so he can sit there and think about it with you, so he can talk about the creative side of wrestling with him. And he thinks there's a stigma that Vince's door is more intimidating than he is. And when he comes back, he wasn't afraid to knock on the door anymore, but he was delighted that once he did, he was really an easy to talk to guy, and he was really easy to pitch ideas to. And he was listening to what, was pitched to him, and he would give feedback, and he might give you different ideas. And it was just really cool to work with him. And they asked him what were some of the ideas that he was getting to get back on TV, that he was getting pitched back to TV. And he said he did this one thing where he acted like he was lost in a cave in Mexico, and he put these videos out online. And then it turned out that he wasn't lost. It was just a publicity stunt. And it turns out that he had lost his mind, but it wasn't because he was stuck in a cave. It was from being stuck at home. And he wanted to turn into a guy who just flipped out from falling off of his mantle as being the most important man on Raw to a guy who just lost his dream job and everything else with it. A guy who became mentally unstable, though not in a Dean Ambrose way. And he messed around with some split personality stuff as well to try to get creative. And sometimes he would go too far outside the box. But those were some of his favorite pitches. Man, he must have got really comfortable.
That sounds so over the top that it would actually work.
Yeah. He must have got really comfortable with Vince if he brought that shit to his office.
It sounds like the male version of the shit that they said Maria tried to pitch a couple of years back with the split personality when she was dating one heel and one face superstar.
Yeah, because I mean, when you're skeptical and you don't know someone, generally you'll knock on your door like this. You know, but it's like that pitch sounds more like you're at the point of, you know, where it's just kind of like
where Vince just looks up and he goes, oh, that's got to be Brad.
Yeah. Like, how comfortable do you have to be? Like, you pitch that crazy shit to him. It is creative, but I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I'd be a little bit nervous to come. Like, that was really over the top. The whole hallucination dream crazy guy that he did. Interesting. Very creative guy. More suited for comics.
Hey, I guess that's why he's pitching himself with the pictures of him dressed up as Deadpool.
Mad Brooks. I said I'm sold on it, man. I like the guy. Oh, boy. So Rey Mysterio has a knee injury.
What? Rey Mysterio injured? Say it ain't so.
How? He's usually so uninjured.
Yeah.
Currently he's out of action. Yeah, he's out of action with a knee injury. He was scheduled to work last night's AAA television tapings in Mexico. However, he was using a crutch and unable to compete. This guy just needs to retire, man. You know, like, well, just
how old is he now? Like in his late 40s, I'd say.
I don't care if he's in his mid 20s. It's like your legs are telling you to retire, man. Please, I beg you. We're gonna need to get the soundbite of him when he was begging Batista. We're gonna be like, please, please, man, please, please, bro. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
When Batista first turned on him?
I don't, but I'm imagining this is from the Eddie storyline after Eddie passed away.
You don't remember that one? Yeah, and Batista, they lose a match. I don't remember who they lose a match to, but Batista.
Yeah, when they were a tag team. Yeah,
And he's like, please, please. And like fucking Batista's just throwing him around and shit. Please, please, Ray, retire. Like, just don't get in the ring. Please, we loved all of your old stuff. Please, please. I'm going to have to get that audio and play it back for him. But yeah, please. Because, man, this guy's legs get fucked up out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like Rick James in the Dave Chappelle skit. Like, yo, your legs are getting fucked up, man. Just stop. You know we love Ray, but you don't want to see him out there anymore like that.
Yeah. It's that Ray was Jesus. One of the reasons I tuned into WCW every week.
Like, stop wrestling. That's why he left WWE. Don't do it anymore. Please.
Yeah, hang him up. Please.
And in other news, Daniel Bryan has been doing jiu-jitsu training while he's been away from WWE. UFC welterweight Ben Henderson said that Daniel Bryan has moved up in jiu-jitsu training while he's been out with the injury. He said that he was out with some injuries in WWE, and he came to their gym, and he moved up to blue belt in jiu-jitsu under his coach, John Crouch. Every time he goes in there, he's working his butt off. He heard he was pretty strong and actually surprised him with how technical he is. And a lot of guys have a hard time learning all those techniques. And he heard that he was a really, really great at being able to use his technique and not relying on his strength. And he's smooth and he does jiu-jitsu really well. And that's coming from Ben Henderson, which is the gym that he's been at.
That's good for him. I mean, like they said, he's been clear to wrestle for a while now, right? WWE's just not using him, I guess, as a precautionary measure.
Well, I believe he got some doctors to clear him. I'm not sure if the WWE doctors did or how it works. I think that's what it is. Their doctors didn't clear him or some shit.
He's another one I see them waiting until like a Royal Rumble to bring him back. Because at this point, with the way the storylines are going, I don't see how he would fit into anything.
Hmm. And then we have some follow-ups here for us to discuss. Yep, it's time for follow-ups. Jimmy Snuka is scheduled to be in court tomorrow morning for his third-degree murder and voluntary manslaughter charges. So we'll be getting an update on that shortly, possibly by next week. Tammy Sitch, her DUI trial has been delayed. It's now scheduled for a hearing on January 26, 2016 for Call of the List, in which the judge will hear if any pretrial agreement has been made between the two sides. If not, Sitch will stand trial on February 1st, 2016. And that's it for the criminals this week.
Oh, shit.
Whatever works, right?
Did you hear about Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, and his car accident?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he hit it. He hit a deer.
He posted that he hit two of them.
Yeah, he did.
How do you hit two of them?
You hit two deer.
I was thinking about that. Like,
and he was here in New York. So it was like, how the fuck did you hit two deer? It's like, come on.
They were in the middle of a conversation.
Man, like, I've gone driving with my sister to upstate New York. We actually almost hit a deer. But that was one. Like, how do you hit two?
I believe him. Do you see the car?
Yeah, yeah. I saw the front headlights. Yeah.
I would either think he hit two deer or one moose. You know? That car was fucked.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. The car had a name, didn't it? Like, in the tweet, he named the car. Like, he said something that makes me think that the car had a name. Let me see.
Was it Lucky? Because he said Lucky totaled hit two deer at 3 a.m. last night in Middleton, New York, en route to tonight's match in Dansbury.
Yeah, is that what it is? Is he saying that he's Lucky, or is he saying
the car's name Lucky?
Or is the car's name Lucky? Because he says Lucky totaled, and then space hit two deer.
Yeah, it's like,
at 3
it's like
a.m.
Lucky, dot dot totaled dot 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 space dot hit two deer.
I'm looking at the photo right now. Look at that car.
Yeah, so am I.
Those are some deer, boy. You could probably eat for a month on a deer.
Probably more, about a month and like 2 days, 2 weeks. I don't know.
Do you wish that we weren't city people and we would just kill deer with our cars?
No.
Shit, that happens where I work at.
Holy shit. I don't know what I would do if I saw a deer.
Out there, man. You don't even need a gun.
I don't like seeing any animals. That shit freaks me out. I'm from places where there are no animals. You know, the few times I've gone out of state and I've seen them, it's been like, whoa, animals. This is weird.
It's like me, when you first play Grand Theft Auto 5 and you go walking around and you actually see dogs and stuff walking in the streets and you're like, oh shit, they got dogs in the game. And then you go out to the mountains and it's like, exactly. Wait, is that a cougar?
Yeah. See, that's how my mind works, because I'll see a deer and my mind will think next is a cougar. I got to get out of here. Like, if deer can be here, you know, what are the predators? I'll just stay in New York, where the worst thing that happens, you get shot. Very simple, very basic. What happened to him? He got shot. What else? He either died of natural causes or got shot. A or B. Distance, like,
what happened to him? Well, he hit a deer, and then when he got out to check his car, a cougar came running out of the bushes and like mauled his leg. And then a wolverine came after that, and they got into like a little scuffle right there, and then a balverine came and took him away.
Yeah, and then dropped him, and then the three went off fighting, and then as he was crawling back wounded, he got shot. What are we even talking about anymore?
We're sprucing up a Scott Steiner story.
I'm sure he's done it. I'm sure he's guilty of the same thing a time or two.
Want to chat with the guys? Then be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to us on YouTube. TalkBrunch.com.
Former ECW wrestler Hack Myers died. Axel Rotten tweeted and he said, words cannot express the sadness I feel right now. my friend, partner, brother, hashtag Hack Myers, has passed away. And so, yeah, that sucks. Sorry to hear that.
I feel bad because I don't really remember the guy. The one footage that I do have of him, it's a match of him and Taz. But it's not even like the Taz that we grew up with. It's Taz from when he was Tasmanian Devil, when he used to wrestle without shoes and stuff. So that's like before I was watching ECW.
PJ Black, aka Justin Gabriel, dropped the next gen title from GFW. And the reason behind it is because, well, he dropped it to Sanjay Dutt at WrestleCade last week. And the reason behind him dropping it was because he signed with Lucha Underground. And to me, that just shows that GFW isn't really paying people to stick around. Much like TNA. Because isn't that next gen title theirs? Then
Yeah, that's the title. Yeah, that's not the belt that they took from I'm thinking the King of the Mountain title. Yeah, that's one of their own legit like made titles.
NXT style title. Their bootleg NXT title.
Yeah.
And, and they have that, so it's kinda like Justin Gabriel jumped over to Lucha Underground probably because they're gonna give him money. Otherwise he would have stayed with GFW, right? Just assuming.
Just a speculation.
I can't think of any other reason he wouldn't stick around otherwise. Just saying. We're going to see Brock Lesnar around more often again because he's going to be on TV for the next coming weeks. He's going to be at the Royal Rumble. He's going to be at a bunch of live events throughout the rest of the month. So get ready for your Lesnar fix.
I mean, more Brock Lesnar is never a bad thing.
No, definitely not.
No comment.
Well, you don't like Lesnar?
What's that? No, I don't. About Lesnar?
I want to hear your grievance. Don't just stay quiet. This isn't ominous.
I don't know. It's just there's just something about him that just pisses me off now. I mean, I don't know. And the fact that, you know, he goes out, you know, hopping around, you know, he wears pants, but then like whenever he wrestles matches, he's wearing shorts. And you're just like, well, somebody skip leg day or something, you know? Shit, my fucking legs are bigger than his.
Is this a serious grievance with Brock Lesnar?
No.
Like, what?
Yeah, I hope not.
No, it's
I have
just,
no issues with Lesnar.
I didn't like Lesnar at first when he came back because I thought he had no respect for the business and he was legit doing it for a paycheck. And they worked it into the storyline that he was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm just here for a paycheck. But I wouldn't even say after the Stone Cold podcast that he did. Even before that, like I had a respect for the guy. Like I like him. Seems like he'd be a cool guy to hang out with.
Yeah, no complaints. And he's a great one, hell of a performer. His matches are always really good. It's not like he's ever put any bad matches. He's always entertaining to watch. He's a draw. He brings numbers. He's over. What more do we want? What more could we possibly want out of a WWE superstar? If not Lesnar, then what would we want? And yeah, he's not here full time, but so what? What would he do if he was here full time? Just run through the whole roster?
Probably.
Yeah, we discussed this before. Like him popping up every now and again, it works like that. Put him in a quick, like 2 month, 3 month storyline and let him like go back into the shadows.
Yeah, I'm fine with this. I really dig him. I'm hearing rumors of a Kevin Owens versus Brock Lesnar feud. There's really nothing to confirm this, but that would be interesting to see.
I'm sold.
Is that the match that's supposed to take place at WrestleMania?
It's a rumored match. I wouldn't say that's supposed
to
take place.
Yeah, well, the rumored match for WrestleMania. I saw an article. I didn't get around to reading it, but it was pretty much the title was hinting about how that would be a bad idea. I can't imagine how it would be. I got to go back and read that at some point. I have no idea. Like I said, I'll read it. It could be something we can talk about on the next episode, like a follow-up.
And I don't think we give a shit what JTG had to say about Hogan's racial rant, do we?
No, I read that, and I really didn't give a shit.
This is not for the show, but it is something that I'm actually interested in. Like, I'll look into that, because I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, you know what? Let's do that, then. Why not? As a matter of fact, we're going to make this one special.
I got a flow.
You got a what?
I got a flow.
I got a flow.
You got a flow, so let it go.
Yeah.
Brother.
So JTG spoke in an interview with World According to Wrestling, and he spoke about Hulk Hogan's racial rant. And he said that what Hulk Hogan did was very disappointing because he was one of the biggest childhood heroes in the 80s to him. And to hear him say that we're all a little racist. I still laugh when I hear that we're all a little racist. That you pretty much sealed your own fate. And he's still trying to wrap his head around that. And it's still disappointing. And He knows that he's a loving guy and he's very positive. He's met Hogan probably like two or three times and he's already had good spirits about him. But racism has nothing to do with loving or hating somebody. It's a mindset that you are superior to the other race. And he also spoke with them a little bit about, you know, the glass ceiling in wrestling, that he said there's a glass ceiling for certain wrestlers, but there aren't for others. He used Zack Ryder as an example, because he said that that's an example of the crowd being on someone's side and it not mattering, because if WWE doesn't approve of you and they don't put the machine behind you, then you're not going to follow through with it. They pretty much handpicked their stars. And they talked about whether or not race is a barrier in the glass ceiling. And he said he definitely believes that it is, due to history and all of the results of history and all the superstars that have been identified as African Americans or as black, that he's never seen them be the face of the company before, et cetera, et cetera. So that's JTG's take on everything.
I do agree with him with the certain glass ceiling thing for superstars, because everybody was behind Zack Ryder at one point. That was around the time, I think, CM Punk had the belt, Zack Ryder had a belt, and I think Daniel Bryan had a belt also. So Punk was like the Raw champion, Bryan was the SmackDown champion, and Ryder was the U.S. champion, if I remember correctly. And then his whole thing just came to an end abruptly. And it was back down to like Jobber Central since then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel bad for him, because I heard recently Mojo Rawley had a televised match, and I guess Ryder's still stuck down on NXT. So it's like they like role swapped right now.
That's really weird. How ironic would that be if they don't come up as a tag team, right?
It was a singles match. It wasn't even a hype bros match.
Crazy. Really crazy. All right. Well, the only thing left to do really is to talk about Raw and NXT, the weekly show, so that we can wrap up here. Fun, fun, fun.
Yay.
I guess we start with NXT, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
So what was going on in NXT this week? We had a couple of returns. So the first match to NXT was Baron Corbin against Ty Dillinger. What did you think of that?
It's weird to watch Ty Dillinger wrestle. I don't know. Is he supposed to be a face?
I believe so. I mean, I don't really know. Is Baron Corbin supposed to be a face? Which one of them?
No, Corbin's definitely a heel now.
So I guess Dillinger would be a face.
Even before he attacked or caused a distraction during the Finn Balor match, he's been a heel. Remember, because he was teaming up with Rhino, and Rhino was a heel also.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest. I've been more interested in the Ty Dillinger stuff than I have the Baron Corbin stuff.
Oh, I totally agree with you too. So that's why I noticed my question was nothing about Baron Corbin. That's why I asked if Ty Dillinger was a face. I was also confused because one of the last times we saw him was when he pretty much jobbed out to Apollo Crews.
Yeah. And now this match. And this was a good match. It wasn't a total squash match. Dillinger got some of his offense in. His form looks very good. The crowd is into him. The finishing move was Corbin going over, catching Dillinger off of the top turnbuckle into the end of days.
Every time I see shit like that, I always think back to Jack Swagger and how if Jack Swagger was in that situation, he wouldn't have caught him properly jumping off the top.
Yeah, right?
You're somebody that pointed that out to me. I never noticed that Jack Swagger had problems catching people. And then as you mentioned it to me, I just watched back his matches and I was like, oh shit, he really, for a big guy, he can't catch small people.
And he has spaghetti legs. He was like, whoop.
That's who skipped leg day.
he skipped leg day.
And it must really suck too for whoever's doing the jump, like especially if they know that that's his thing, like shit, Swagger's gonna catch me with his spaghetti legs. Because I always see, like when someone like Ryback or Lesnar catches you, they do with authority. Their legs do not move. They're like tree trunks. Like Swagger shit is all ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah.
Ting, dang, walla, walla, be.
Yeah, that's someone who's missing leg day. But, so the next match where was Nia Jax versus Blue Pants with new shitty music.
Yeah, when she came out, I was like, is that the same music? Because it sounds like it's still Enzo and Cass doing it. They did a different sample.
I'm not sure if it's still them. It's just a different song entirely, though.
No, it's still Cass singing it.
Yeah, this was pretty much a squash match. Like, it was the pop-up Samoan drop and then the running leg drop. Nia Jax went over. And then one of the commentary said that they need to start calling Blue Pants Soiled Pants.
Soiled Pants. And I was like, that's really fucked.
Like, why would you make that joke for her, but not for Natalya?
Yeah, and I gotta say, this match, Nia Jax did look really good, man. Like, she
I don't even want to say ragdoll tossed her. Like, the way she tossed her, it was pretty brutal. I felt bad. It looked painful. For her.
Like, yeah, I never seen someone thrown around like that. Like, she is dangerous.
like, Brock Lesnar didn't even throw Zach Gowen around like that.
Yeah, like, gravity. She was in no control of her falls. It was all between Jax and gravity. Because she was just being tossed, man. That was harsh shit there. I can see why they want somebody crazy and big like that around now. The Rock talked about her recently, and he said that it's a pleasure having his cousin and future diva Nia Jax come through Iron Paradise. I guess that's where he encountered her. And He said as her mentor, he talked for hours about her goals and her hard work and how what it's going to take to achieve it. And he asked her what her number one goal is, and she simply said greatness. And he said that he had a big smile on his face when she said that. And he told her not to worry about championship titles and not to be concerned with becoming famous. Just always remember the one powerful thing you can be in and out of the wrestling ring is yourself. And he said all 5'11", 272 pounds of beautiful Samoan, German, authentic, savage, humble, hungry, dominant woman. And he told her to be real, to be herself, and greatness will come. And then he said that then she cracked a big smile too. And he said for us to keep out for his cousin. He said, you guys keep out for my cousin. One day she'll do big things. And she'll, don't you dare, McWrestling. One day she'll do big things. And she'll do it with class and humility. And more importantly, she'll do it just being herself.
I'm going to be good because I let three of them slide and I didn't say anything. And then you just called me out on it. So I'm going to be good.
Yeah, so I like it. I'm convinced, man. She is big, but she is, you know, I agree with everything else that he said. She's,
you know what? Like, again, intriguing. Not talking any shit about her. I see her as a potential, like, the next Karma. But, like, it'll actually work out for her. Whatever they had planned for Awesome Kong when she was Karma, I can see Nia Jax taking it and making it work.
Me too. I totally can. Yeah. I'm on board with this. NXT's looking good lately, man. It's really looking good.
Shoot, yeah, it's 5'11".
It's at that point where you're getting the transition of new superstars coming in and you're not like, ah, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, we never do. They seem to know what they're doing down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So next we had Adam Rose versus James Storm. And we had Adam Rose come in with his music, his Rosebud music, and then he cancels it, which I think they need to stop doing. Just don't do the music anymore. Stop it. Stop fucking with his music.
And, so you'd rather them go back to the previous one?
Oh, you're talking about the previous one they gave him that one time?
This is why I feel like people listen to the podcast. Like, somebody in the business must have heard a shit on that. Because notice, like, right after you said that, he never had it again.
I mean, it doesn't just take us. I'm sure everybody in the world thought this was a bad song.
Apparently not, because somebody gave him the green light to go out there to that.
Yeah, too many cooks in the kitchen with this company. But yeah, we had Adam Rose and James Storm, and it was a decent match. You know, it was very short. It was more to showcase James Storm doing all the James Storm stuff we know him for in TNA. He goes over with the Last Call super kick, as we know him to do. He looks good in the ring. You know, I'm glad he's here. I'm glad he's here.
It looked kind of sloppy to me the first time he hit it, but on the replay, it looked pretty nice.
Yeah, it's all about camera angles nowadays.
Yeah.
And then they announced the return of Sami Zayn. And it turns out that Sammy will compete in a triple threat match against Baron Corbin and Finn Balor on Saturday in Sheffield, England. And the other matches announced for that were Emma against Bayley and Apollo Crews against Samoa Joe. I don't believe that's televised, though, but that's where Sami Zayn's first return match will be. So he'll probably have something going on by the NXT London, which is really good to know. So next we have the Vaudevillains against Jason Jordan and Chad Gable.
Another great match, and then we had the, I guess you would say, the heel turn at the end.
Yeah, but you know, I really, really love Jordan and Gable as a team. Like, Gable especially.
Gable is amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, all of his stuff.
At the start of that match, I was laying back lounging, and I don't even know what the whole transition that he did was, but it made me sit up and I was like, what the fuck was that? And I rewinded it and I was like, yep, I don't know what the fuck that is, but I'm entertained.
He's high level.
Yeah.
Gable is high level.
I think I don't even think the size is an issue right now of it holding him back. Like, they have to see that, like, there's potential with this guy.
how lucky are we to have somebody like this that's going to be in the wrestling? Like, are you kidding me? This is going to change the tag team division. I almost don't want him to go up, but I do, you know, because I want to see him wrestle other tag teams. But damn, is he having a run right now?
Yeah, I don't know what their whole plan is, but you see they keep making the hints of they're the new world's greatest tag team. I don't know if WWE is trying to get like Shelton and I guess Haas to come out of retirement for one more match to face these guys.
I don't know if it'll matter. Then these guys are at their prime right now and they're doing great.
Yeah, and even Kurt Angle praised them. You mentioned that on the last episode, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's like they're praiseworthy, man. This might be my favorite tag team of the WWE brand right now.
I'm thinking about like all the teams. I'd put them next to New Day.
Oh yeah, well you do got to count New Day. New Day is the full package. They're entertaining. Everyone in there is a skilled wrestler.
But I still feel like they would outperform New Day in an actual wrestling ring.
Well, in a shoot wrestling, yeah. But New Day, they're definitely the full package as far as skills, ability. No one sucks in New Day as far as wrestling. They're all really good. Plus their personality. So you got to give it to New Day.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a friend message me and he was like, you know, I've never seen Xavier Woods wrestle. And I was like, that's quite a shame because he was amazing when he was Consequences Creed in TNA. And that blew his mind. He was like, oh, shit. He was like, that's the same guy. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, he is. And he's great at what he does. You know, I'm glad they have those guys there. Very good little group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. The ending after Jordan and Gable go over, the vaudevillains don't give them the code of honor. They just kind of don't. They just have it look like maybe we are having a vaudevillain heel turn.
Yeah, it was weird because they put their hands out and then you seen Aiden English put his hand out, but the hand that he put out, it wasn't to shake there. Like you could see there's no way he could have shaked their hand, and then like he taps Gotch and then they just turn and walk away. And I was like, okay. I mean, their name is vaudevillains, so.
Yeah, it wouldn't make sense otherwise. So then we had Emma versus Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan, a.k.a. Gianna Daddio. Now she'll be known as Liv Morgan. This was revealed on this episode. Anyone who doesn't remember her, she was at NXT TakeOver Rivals back in February 11th of 2015. And she was the fan who jumped on Tyler Breeze during his entrance, where it looked like a fan got to him and like clutched onto him and shit. That was her.
I got to go back and watch that. I didn't realize that was her.
Yeah, she later appeared at NXT TakeOver Unstoppable on May 20th, and she was in Breeze's entrance there when he had all of the girls and stuff going down the ramp with him. And then in October, she was under the ring name Marley in NXT, if you remember Marley. And now she's finally Liv Morgan.
I do remember Marley, yeah.
Yeah, and now she's Liv Morgan. Overall, good match. I like that double underhook side slam that Emma did. You know, I like that she gets some power move because she is a big girl. She's not like a huge girl, but, you know, she's a big girl. She'll be doing
honestly thought Emma was going to lose the match.
I didn't. And then she went over with the Emma lock, which was very good. And then at the end of the segment, Asuka appeared on the Tron and she was hitting like a heavy bag. And she was like, Emma, see you in London. You know, and that whole thing. And it was like, oh, shit, she's going to destroy you.
Yeah, I love Asuka's character.
And then the fans start chanting that Asuka's gonna kill you. And that was the end of that segment. And then we get Bayley backstage, who's doing like a backstage interview. And then Nia Jax put her through a door.
Yeah, like, that was brutal. But there was one.
She was like, I'm ready to take
this
on any challenge. Next thing you hear is the challenge. Boom. Went through a fucking door.
I didn't like the little smile she gave her because it seemed too similar to what Asuka does when she just like walked up and smiled at her and then walked away.
What else are you gonna do? Laugh? Be like, ha 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 ha. I just put you through a door. She did the right thing. It's not exactly the Asuka thing just because she smiled. Well, I liked it. I just thought
she could have been like, I'm gonna eat you alive. I tried to be good.
Come on, you gotta be good. So, yeah, so I guess we're going to have the Bayley-Jax feud. And then finally,
that's going to be interesting because she's still undefeated, so.
Yeah, it'll be the whole David and Goliath thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody loves Bayley.
Oh, Bayley.
And then the main event was Samoa Joe against Tommaso Ciampa. And this was really cool, man. Like, Tommaso Ciampa in typical style was using only his crazy forearms and knees and stuff, but these guys were slapping the shit out of each other, like, really hard.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck, you never win a slap match with Joe.
Ah, he was slapping. It was echoing into the arena. I was like, psh, I'm like, whoa. You know, go back and listen to the blows of this match. If anyone wasn't listening to the sound or whatever, like, wow, they were slapping the crap out of each other. And then that Joe hit him with that corner in Siguri, which it made a thudding sound. That was really bad. You saw when he hit him in the corner with that thing?
Yeah, they even said, well, that was when it was the end of the match for him.
It really was, because from that he went from the muscle buster into the coquina clutch for the end.
Yeah, it was still cool to see Ciampa made it into the main event of the show, which means that they do have some faith in the guy. And who knows, maybe he may end up staying in NXT full-time.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't see why they wouldn't let him be in there. I didn't think that that tag team thing was a one-off thing. But overall, Just like every other NXT week, this was a great week for it. Cool stuff happening. Still the best brand right now of the three.
Yeah. The one thing you skipped and didn't mention was the backstage segment with, was it Dash and Wilder?
Yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to praise these guys because they're a pretty vanilla tag team. They're pretty, like, they're bland, they're generic. They're good in the ring, and I was behind them until this promo tonight.
What did it for you? Well, what didn't do it for you?
Well, they were talking, and then I fell asleep.
that's bad.
seriously, they were talking. So I was watching it, and they're sitting there. I think they're sitting on a stool, and they're talking and everything. And then I fell asleep. I woke up at the point I woke up, James Storm was already in the ring with Adam Rose, and I had to rewind back to see what I missed.
Yeah, that's why I didn't bring it up. I didn't want to put these listeners to sleep. But yeah, overall good show. I'm really liking what's going on with NXT. So we're going to shoot straight into Raw, which already opened on the wrong foot, because the League of Nations, because not only is the League of Nations already in the ring with their music playing, but
they had their new music.
Yeah, their new music.
Yeah, it's a new stable. I would have liked to see what the intro was and stuff. Like, they don't, you know, start them out just like already being in the ring like that. So I'm thinking already, we're fucking up. Like, we just opened.
See, this is why I said this is the little things like this is what I miss about the second screen, because if we still had it, had you had it running, I'm pretty sure we would have got the footage of them coming out to the ring.
A stable's debut with their new music and shit is first screen material, no matter what. So that's a strike on them there. But anyway, the Wyatts come out to pick a fight with the League of Nations, and then the Dudleys come out and interrupt that. And then Devon
I was kind of disappointed with that.
Yeah, because Devon has he has a Bebe's Kids reference, because he says when you're extreme.
Has everybody
you don't die.
Watched that movie but me?
I guess so. He says, you don't die, you multiply. And then Rhino comes out, which is funny. It's weird that no one thought Rhino, even though Rhino's been down in NXT this whole time, he'd be an easy grab. Everyone
right,
was thinking out of the box.
It was going to be RVD or Spike.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of Rhino. It's like he's
yeah,
right
I was,
there.
I was
he's,
thinking
he hasn't
Spike,
gone anywhere.
Maybe Sandman, maybe?
This is why, because Rhino was such a fucking non-factor in NXT. The last time you saw him was when they had that battle royal and Baron Corbin betrayed him. And correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't see him again after that.
Yeah, I don't remember Rhino there afterwards, but I just forgot he was on the NXT roster, so it was like, oh shit, that's right, you guys could just bring Rhino up.
And then he pops up with this scruffy beard that you've never seen him with in his entire career.
Yeah, he looked a little thicker than usual too, but he was there, good to see Rhino. And then Roman Reigns comes through the crowd with the Usos and Dean Ambrose. They pretty
family.
Much have the Shield entrance.
I thought
yeah,
that was
that's
cool.
They're supposed to be called the Family, right? That's what I keep hearing on the internet, that their official name's supposed to be the Family.
Yeah, that's supposed to be their name. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
Did you pick up on the little fuck up when they called them the Dudley's Team Extreme?
Yes.
Did they really?
They called them Team Extreme, and I was like, isn't that the fucking Hardy Boys? And then after that, they started calling them, what was it, Team? I think they changed the name. Team ECW, I think they call them Team... No, they definitely didn't call them Team Hardcore. I think it was just Team ECW after
that. Well, when they're saying Team Extreme, they're probably not thinking of that Team Extreme, but I see the error, how it could be made. But yeah, here comes another commercial problem, because now they cut to commercial after everyone's in the ring, and when we come back, we're at a 16-man elimination fatal four-way tag team match. The problem with this is that it wasn't announced when we went away on commercial break, so now we're just thrown into the middle of this. They need to stop mistiming these commercials.
They're already fighting.
Yeah, I almost threw my shoe at the fucking TV.
Yeah,
you see like two guys fighting. Well, there's like four guys fighting in the ring, and I'm like, wait, what? And then they're explaining it as you're watching it.
Yeah, things like that in the intro of the League of Nations, all these things need to come together a little bit better. But now, as far as the match goes, it was a decent match for what it could be with that many people in there. I do like Stable Warfare, so I had fun with it. The Tower of Doom spot where, I guess, Dreamer didn't take the full bump. He was just clipped from the side. It still looked good. The first team eliminated was the Wyatts because Eric Rowan jobs to the Dreamer DDT.
I like and, that. Of all the people they could have chose, they were like, ah, just send Rowan in there.
Yeah.
Did and a stupid little spin kick and got eliminated.
Yeah, yeah. And then once again, the commercials curse us because as it's fading to black, I could see Bray Wyatt raging out on Rowan for getting pinned. Like, he's literally screaming at him at ringside. He just starts flipping, but it cuts away again. So another commercial made me miss whatever the hell happened between Rowan and Wyatt there, because he looked pissed off that Rowan got eliminated. So it comes back, and we get a little bit more back and forth, and then Rusev eats a 3D, but he rolls to safety. And then Devon goes for the what's up with Bubba Ray, but Del Rio knocks Devon off of the ropes. And then Sheamus bro kicks Bubba to go over. And then there's two teams left after that. And that leaves us with Del Rio. And he has Roman in the cross arm breaker at one point. And then one of the Usos splashes off of the top rope. Del Rio, who's cross arm breaking Roman Reigns. And then Sheamus gets speared out of the bro kick for the win.
Yeah, after he mocked them with the whole, what do you call it? The setup that he looked like he was going for the Superman punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then after the match, Renee asked Sheamus if that's a foreshadow of what's going to happen to him Sunday. And then he says that a great man once said there's no chance in hell.
Yeah, I was like, ha, ha, ha.
Kissing that arse.
Yeah, kissing that arse.
So then Stardust's Cosmic Wasteland is once again interrupted by Titus popping in, and they do that entire shtick that they've been doing for the third or fourth time. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I'm liking their little feud, their little crazy rivalry that they have going on.
I don't know where they're heading with it, but I love it.
Don't worry, I'm sure they don't know where they're heading with it either. That's how we do things around here. That's what I do.
So, it's weird because later on in the night, you hear Titus when he goes, he was like, I just want to see Stardust go back to being himself. I want to see him as Cody Rhodes. I hope they're not giving him the spot that they were supposed to give Goldust, where Goldust is supposed to be the one that snaps him out of the Stardust character and brings him back as himself.
I'm hearing the rumors that they did want to push him as a big baby face, so maybe we get Cody Rhodes back. I don't know. He's good in whatever role. I'm convinced that no matter what he does.
I want Titus to be the one. Like, give Goldust that. You're never going to give the guy a championship. Give him that one major storyline before he, like, rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So then we had Dolph Ziggler against Kevin Owens with Tyler Breeze and Summer Rae came out, and then Dean Ambrose is watching backstage eating popcorn and soda, and it's his birthday. So I guess that's how he celebrates. Boy. Yeah, so good match. Owens catches Ziggler with this nasty forearm, man, where he like hits him straight across the face with it.
And yeah, they replay that like, what, 2-3 times?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like, even JBL said to go look up Vader versus Cactus Jack and we'll see the same forearm. And
yeah, I heard that reference and I kind of giggled.
Yeah, and then Owens hit the fallaway slam into the barricade on Ziggler, which looked really rough. Very rough, stiff-looking match from both guys here. I would say this was the workhorse match of the night, of course. Nasty DDT by Ziggler when he caught Owens with it on the apron. The way Owens' head recoiled looked really awesome. Owens hit Ziggler with that nasty release German that looked very well done. Owens catching Dolph's super kick and then responding with one of his own, and then Ziggler recoiling off of the ropes and then using his own super kick and falling straight into the pin for the close two. Very good looking. And then Owens goes over with a pop-up powerbomb. And after the match, Ambrose comes out with his popcorn and drink, and he throws the popcorn and drink in Owens' face. That's his reward for having such a great match.
Me, the fucking gamer that I am, I was watching that, and I was like, I would love that intro in the next WWE game, where you just walk down to the ring with popcorn and soda in your hand.
And just psh, psh, and leave.
So remember, you used to be able to like take sodas from the crowd. They took that out in the new games.
See, that's why Ambrose is one of my favorites. That's one of the reasons why by far he's become one of my favorites, because like he's very simple in a lot of ways. Like, you don't have to always fight. You could just throw popcorn in somebody's face and leave.
I mean, he did offer him some and he's like, I don't want your popcorn. Yeah. And he was like, well, take it.
Yeah, he gave it to him, all right.
And he's like, why didn't you play my music?
Yeah, he was fucking screaming that. He was like, play my music!
It's a good song, but come on. And then after that, we get a Wyatt segment where Braun Strowman is discussing how he's going to destroy Dreamer later on. And after that, we get the Miz Neville segment where Miz wants to help redesign Neville, which we talked about earlier. And then we get Sasha Banks and Naomi versus Brie and Alicia Fox. And there was one really weird thing about this match, and I'm sure you guys caught it, but Sasha hits Fox with a snapmare takedown. And it just looked like Fox oversold and it went flying into the air for some reason. And then I feel like when she fell, her leg went the wrong way. Like, I hope she didn't sprain anything because she really flopped. A snapmare is not supposed to look like that. Like, it looked crazy. If you go back and look at that spot, it was like something went a little bit wrong there. But anyway, aside from that, everything else went according to plan. Sasha distracted Brie from ringside grabbing her leg while Tamina distracted the ref, causing her to turn into Naomi's rear view for the finish. And then that's when New Day came out to celebrate with them, and they brought them unicorn horns for everyone on the team.
I marked out the minute their music hit because I knew what was coming up. I was like, are they making this a thing on TV now? And then when they gave them the unicorn hat, the hats, I thought they were going to be like, oh, we don't want this shit, and toss it and walk away. But then JBL started to acknowledge that this is something that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
And then they took it and they started dancing, and that just completed my night.
Hands down, the best thing since the Chipmunks and the Chipettes. It was like, look, they got their female counterparts. This is fantastic. It all fits perfectly.
Now I got the fucking Chipmunk song stuck in my head.
Yeah, I do too. Damn it.
So then we had New Day against the Lucha Dragons. And New Day with the return of Theater, which not many people know about Theater, unless you were watching the second screen back in the day. They always used to do little theater segments, some of the funniest ones ever. We've seen some really outrageous shit from them. But in this Theater, Big E was the tree, I believe, and Kofi was the cat stuck in the tree. And it was just really fucking crazy. But, yeah, they did that whole little shtick, and then we had the match afterwards, and Kalisto seemed off today. That springboard corkscrew spot he did came off weird. There was a few other things that looked a little uncoordinated. I don't know what was really going on there. I mean, I guess everybody can have a off day, but this was definitely his in the match. Woods played his trumpet right into the Usos' face at ringside, and they went kicking. And they basically wind up kicking his ass over
it. Yo, it looked like you turned on the wrong street. Like you were wearing blue and you turned on a street of people wearing red in Brooklyn.
It really did. They whipped his ass.
They whooped his ass.
And then, of course, the Luchas take advantage of all of the distraction and go over. You got to give them something since they're not going to get anything at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get Miz TV with Charlotte, who's bad on the mic, and confirms it again. She sounds like she's reading lines.
Are they trying to turn
lines.
Her heel now?
Yeah, they clearly are. Yeah,
yeah, she's the one failing
like
at it.
The snazzy attitude and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I was like, okay.
She has to read lines less obviously, though. Did you hear when she read that one line where she was like, you may as well do like Tyra Banks and quit your own show?
There was an awkward silence, like just like in my house and then all through the arena. Everybody was just like, what?
Yeah,
Rikishi, these lines. That one, I was like, oh.
Because I feel like that was a reference to something that happened many, many years ago.
Just don't Rikishi these lines. You know, that's all I'm saying. Like, what are you doing? And then that whole 10 minutes on Rolex time thing with her and Ric Flair, like they're laying it on a little bit thick. And another problem that I have with this is that The Miz is talking about how she's ruthless and all these other things. She only had one incident. Mm-hmm. All she did was cheat her best friend once. How did she get that reputation already?
I guess he was bringing up what happened at Survivor Series with like her arm under the rope or something like that, and the ref didn't see it.
I would hope not, because she was still playing the role of a face at that point. So
yeah,
but based on that logic,
them even bringing that up was pointless.
Yeah, but based on that logic, she's only done one heel thing, and Miz is already saying that the people are saying that she's a turncoat and cold and ruthless and heartless. And I'm like, wait a minute, from that one thing, we assessed all of this. Just really weird. They should have built her heel turn a little bit better than for her to just suddenly be a completely different person. You know, and then Rick announces that he'll be in Charlotte's corner this Sunday, and then Charlotte tells Miz that she feels bad for his wife. And Paige comes out.
I kind of marked out for that too. I was like, is this a hint of a possible Maurice return?
That would have been cool. And then Paige comes out, and as Ric Flair and Charlotte are leaving, Paige slaps Rick's face, and Rick screams to Charlotte, "Get her!" And then Charlotte gets back in the ring.
Yeah, I couldn't help but laugh at that point.
And starts beating up Paige, and Paige scrambles up the ramp to escape. And then you clearly hear a random fan scream, "You still look good, Paige!"
Yeah, I was like, what? Like, Paige has been retired for like 5-10 years and she just came back. Like, you still got it.
Fan interaction. Gotta love it. And then we got Ryback versus Rusev just so that they could remind us that they hate us. And Ryback's, this was just a regular match. Ryback's chasing Rusev around the ring, and a whole bunch of weird shit happened here, because then
Ryback does a corkscrew plancha, which surprised me.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my god, what the hell was that?
It looked all right for a big guy like that. Like,
yeah,
that,
for a big guy to like, he did a corkscrew. So I was like,
early
okay.
in the match too, very early in the match. But when Rusev is being chased around the ring by Ryback, he almost runs into Lana, right? And then Lana feigns like a leg injury. Mm-hmm. And then that basically causes Ryback to get distracted. And then Rusev uses that to lock him into the accolade outside the ring. And then Lana turns out to be faking. And then Rusev gets counted out, but he gets to hurt Ryback, which it turns out it was a trick all along. And Lana was in on this whole thing. But it only makes sense to reveal those kind of things when you're going to benefit from it. Like when there's a title on the line or something, it doesn't make sense that you guys are like, haha, it was a trick all along. We made you lose this random irrelevant match on Raw. And now you know we're heels. Like, Triple H or someone else would have waited until a really important fucking day and then been like, surprise, you've been screwed. Not like, just who cares? So you screwed him on a Raw. He'll just kick your ass on SmackDown.
I told you, yeah. This is the whole, it's a whole buildup of them fucking him over for the whole, the release of the fact that they're engaged and whatnot. There's like, you wanted to fuck up our storyline. We're going to fuck up your career. Because Rusev just looks more and more like a joke every week he comes out. And in this constant fucking kissing thing, it's very disgusting. I don't want it on my team. I don't want it. I don't like it.
And I was like, get a room, bro.
Really? All right. So then we had Swagger against Stardust. And was this another match that came in the middle of the match?
Yes, you came back from commercial break, and they're already
like
wrestling.
Really weird, right? Like, what the fuck, man? They need to stop doing that. The commercials are a little bit intrusive now. But anyway, Rio comes out. Swagger goes over with the ankle lock, but as soon as Stardust taps, Del Rio hits him in the back with a chair. And then he attacks Stardust with a chair as well. And then Del Rio and Swagger have a chair battle at ringside. And then Del Rio retreats, and Swagger tries to remind Zeb of who he supposedly truly is deep down inside, which was a racist motherfucker that hated everybody.
But you gotta factor in. Del Rio, like, trip on
Del Rio tripped, and before that, the only reason Del Rio got the upper hand on Stardust was because Titus was still sitting there, and he starts screaming. He was like, hey, Del Rio, look out.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, it was entertaining, but I mean, the Zeb stuff needs to go, which
that's what I said. No, they realize, and that's as soon as he tripped over the little scooter thing, I was like, this is gonna cause some type of dissension between the two backstage.
Yeah, and then it happened.
Yeah,
he was like, people laughed at me because of your stupid scooter.
He's like, I don't need you. He's very fucking bad on the mic too.
Yeah, and then Del Rio roughs him up and rubs a chair on his scooter, you know, and then tells him that he doesn't need him anymore, and then Zeb rolls away. He very slowly rolls away.
Yeah, like whenever he pulled away from Swagger, like I heard a bunch of people ringside busted out laughing.
Yeah, they did, because it is funny. It is funny. Even
it's
though it
sad. It's sad, funny.
It is sad watching a little man scoot away like that, like like really slowly like that, man. He would never be able to make a New York fucking stoplight. You know what I mean? At that speed, someone would need to have the foot to the back of that and give it a little push. Because there's no way you're making that scoot, man.
I mean, unless the car's like off in the distance and he can start crossing before the light changes.
He'd be better off having a fucking grappling hook and just hooking onto one of the back of the cars. Because there's no way that thing moves. Yeah, like, Johnny Five would beat that thing in a race, you know? Like, that motherfucker is slow. So he scooted away, possibly for the last time, until the pay-per-view. And that's going to be the big feel-good moment in the pay-per-view, that Swagger's going to come out and he's going to be like, I brought someone with me. And you're going to hear, you're going to see his little ass is going to come scooting out.
Or in true fucking WWE fuckery, you will in the middle of the match, Zeb will come scooting down to help Swagger win the match.
Yeah, or maybe that.
Could you imagine if it happens like the time when Undertaker came out with his bike and it stalled on the stage?
Yeah, you know what, man? Honestly, to me at this point, true WWE fashion will be both Swagger and Coulter coming out on scooters. Just for no reason whatsoever, you know? Both of them on separate ones. Or maybe he'll be inside of the little side pad. Like, they'll have like a little side pad for the scooter.
A little sidecar.
Oh, man. Two guys, one scooter.
Should be like, Papa Wheelie, Papa Wheelie.
Okay.
Before you continue, just for the record, you did say two guys, one scooter.
I did say two guys, one scooter. Yeah.
I just clarify that so you could hashtag that shit for the episode.
Hashtag two guys, one scooter. Oh, man.
Or if I could bullet point that and put that at the top of the bullet point notes.
Fantastic. So Dreamer versus Braun Strowman was basically Dreamer's typical match. He gets his ass kicked for the entire thing, and then Strowman goes over with the bear hug. Feels like Dreamer never left.
Yeah. Like, when it was happening, like, I looked at the time and I was like, this isn't the main event. I know this isn't the main event. Why is this on my time slot right now?
Yeah.
And before I could finish asking questions, it was over.
Mm-hmm. That's what they do. They job ECW people. You know that about them already. Everybody, even TNA jobs ECW people.
Shit, you're right. Because when they had that whole, I don't even remember the name they called it, because it's like WWE had the rights to the name, so they couldn't call it that. But ECW EV2. Lost that in TNA.
EV2 versus Fortune, back when Fortune was heels.
Right.
And then slowly they started firing them one by one in every match until there was no more EV2 members left. Crazy.
Back when storylines ended in TNA.
Mm-hmm. A lot like the way they begin, without us having any idea where the fuck it's going. So finally,
I'm not even gonna continue to talk about TNA.
Good idea. So finally, we get to Roman Reigns, who comes out to Sheamus's call out, basically. But now Sheamus isn't there, and eventually Sheamus does show up. That's when they start. He calls him a tater tart, or he tells him that he has tater tarts. You know, instead of man balls, he has supposed tater to have tarts. Potatoes. Yeah, that whole thing. Whatever.
Like, yeah, like tater tot.
Whatever. But anyway, he's a tater tart guy now, because all the fans are chanting tater tot, tater tot. And then comes the annoying part of this whole thing, where Roman Reigns is in the ring, but he's trying to have Sheamus come in the ring, and he's like, "I'm not stupid, fella. You have a chair. If I come in that ring, you hit me with a chair." He's like, all right, well, then
I'm going to annoy the shit out of you. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's just probably annoying the shit out of him right now.
He's like, okay.
I was just sitting here like, when is the rest of the League of the Nations going to come in? And they actually
They weren't even clever enough. Then he moved the chair and it's like, hey, fella, you still have a ladder in there. You could do something like, all right, I'll move the ladder. There's still a table in there. Okay, I'm on table. You could still kick me with your boots. Okay, I'm unlacing my boots. Look, my vest is on the ground. Look, my arms are spread. My arms are flat. I'm face forward on the fucking ground. You know, like, what are you doing? Get in the fucking ring already, you pussy. Like, why are you making us watch this? You know, like, how far was this going to go? Jeez.
Yeah, I kind of got uncomfortable. Like, near the end, I was like, okay, what the hell?
Yeah, really did. Like, I don't know. It just took a little bit too long. And then finally they fight after all of that. And Roman Reigns is beating him through the crowd, and they fight up the ramp, and Reigns whips Sheamus into a table, and Sheamus gets the upper hand and starts beating him with a chair, and Sheamus goes to powerbomb Reigns through the announce table, and they fight their way back down, but he counters that, and Superman punches Sheamus. Reigns goes to spear Sheamus, but Sheamus gets out of the way, so Reigns just fucking goes off into the distance, spearing nothing. And then Reigns eventually jumps over the announce table and he spears Sheamus through a table that was set up diagonally against the side of the ring. And afterwards, Reigns' arm seemed to be bleeding, I guess, from one of the many tables or things that they went through. Who knows?
Yeah, he looked like he was kind of messing with that arm, and I was like, retro.
Yeah, he got a little hurt there. That's what happens when you're doing crazy shit like that.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me of whenever he speared Bray Wyatt through the announce table.
Yeah, pretty much. Overall, it was a good Raw, it was a good NXT, good week for wrestling. I mean, better than a lot of the stuff we've been getting lately. And it looks like the TLC is actually being set up to be a better pay-per-view than the Survivor Series.
I mean, like, with the way Survivor Series was, they didn't really set a pretty high bar for that.
No, they didn't. We didn't know any of the matches going into it. We didn't know anything that was going on. But yeah, this one is, it's like they actually went out of their way to put together a semi-decent card. There's very little there that's not going to be good. So I'm going to be looking forward to that.
I think I actually listened to the surveys that they sent out.
Oh, yeah. You did mention wanting to talk about some surveys, right? Tell me a little about what's going on with this whole thing.
Okay, well, I basically heard through the grapevine that WWE was sending out surveys either via mail or via email. And I was like, what? Nah, this is probably bullcrap. But then I actually looked at the link to it, and somebody actually posted what the survey said. And the majority of the survey said that, you know, NXT is the better overall product, which I totally agree with that too. But still, reading some of the questions and stuff about the survey, I mean, you couldn't help but laugh. I mean, it was just like, are y'all getting that desperate? You're sending out surveys to your fans because you want to know about the overall product. You know, you're obviously not looking at social media or anything. You just want the survey. Go straight to the survey thing.
Would I have a survey? Like, when, if I looked at my email, would I have a survey from them?
I don't know. I think I don't know if they're sending them to, like, random people or if there's, like...
If you're subscribed to them, you probably have. Not just through the network. Like, I was subscribed to WWE, like, way back, like, early 2000. They probably sent it to me, but they rarely send emails, so it probably went into my spam folder.
Yeah, I haven't checked my email in forever, so that, I probably got one, but I'll probably end up trashing it anyway, so... But yeah, when I first heard about that, I thought it was a joke. But then when I actually looked at what some of the surveys said, I laughed my ass off. I mean, shit, yeah. I was like choking laughing. I mean,
it's like them directly going, well, we got a ratings drop. So tell us what you'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't see any surveys from them on my email, and they must have my email address because I pay for their shitty network. No, I'm not kidding.
Like,
yeah, shit. I'm kidding.
Yeah, and I basically buy tickets for their live events, so shit, they probably know who I am. So.
Do you know who I am? I'm the girl who buys all the tickets to the live events.
Yeah, and I hang around this big, tall, gay guy whenever we go to live events wearing matching shirts.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything. I have other stuff from them, but nothing like that. I mean, is it possible they're doing some surveys? Sure. But I mean, it's a known thing for most companies to do surveys. There's nothing really weird about that.
Shit, the only time I'll do a survey is if I'm getting paid for it.
I wouldn't put it past them. I'm pretty sure that this it's not just a rumor in the grapevine, that this is a legit thing that they're actually doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would not be surprised.
I feel like they would always do surveys, though. But like I said, who knows? Who knows? Also, do not forget, this Saturday, there is the Conor McGregor versus Jose Aldo UFC main event. So we might pop in and do a second serving for that one. We haven't really planned anything yet for that, but yeah, we'll do something for all of these things. You're going to hear our coverage anyway, but yeah, the next time we get together, we'll be talking about the results of TLC. So as a result of that, we're going to go into some predictions now before we wrap things up. Chairs match is the first thing on the card. Jack Swagger versus Del Rio. What are your takes on it, guys?
I'm going to say they're going to give Jack Swagger the win on this one. Like it's his final run at getting a successful storyline before they drop him off the roster.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, and probably have him reunite with Zeb.
Okay, so both of you going for Swagger feel good win moment.
Right. This isn't for the title, right?
This is
no, I don't think so.
Not for the title.
So yeah, Swagger.
Maybe Swagger. I find it weird. It would be weird to me that WWE is keeping Del Rio protected in other companies. They don't want him to job in other companies, but then they'll let him job to Swagger.
Drop to Swagger.
You know, like they're so worried about him dropping.
But look,
that.
It's like, come on, you got to do a trade off. You came in, you took the belt off of Cena. Like, you gotta take a loss here, man.
I don't think so. I think Del Rio will kick his ass. I'm going with Del Rio with this. I think Del Rio's the person they brought in. They plan to push Del Rio. Swagger just happens to be the solution to the problem that they created with this Zeb storyline. I don't think they plan to push Swagger. Therefore, I don't see him winning.
That's what I said. This is just like the last, like Swagger's last run.
I don't mean
it's going to be a positive run. It's his feel good moment of you got your win. Yay. And then next year you hear he's gone.
Nope. I think that the feel-good moment is going to be when the ref gets fucking Del Rio out of the hold and releases Jack's arm. But anyway, nah, I don't see it, man. I really don't see him going over. But we'll see. We'll see. Next, we have the Divas match. Paige versus Charlotte with Ric Flair at ringside.
Clearly, Charlotte's going over in this one.
Yeah, I have to say Charlotte.
Flair's going to cause a distraction. They're going to have the false finish where you think Charlotte's going to win off a roll-up, but Paige is going to kick out, hit her with the finisher. Then Charlotte's still going to kick out, and it's going to be like, oh, my God. And then like the ref's probably going to be busy checking on a knocked-out Flair, and that's where Charlotte will get up and get the victory.
That's possible. Another way to go with this would be that Becky costs Charlotte the match and Paige wins the title. And then there's this divide between the three of them where we don't know if Becky's with Charlotte or Becky's with Paige, you know. It just becomes a weird thing. I think they could do something interesting there, though.
Yeah.
Next the irony in you forgetting Becky is that Paige pretty much said she's the forgetful one.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. So next we have the ladder match, triple threat match for the WWE tag titles, Usos, Lucha Dragons, New Day.
I'm going to say New Day's keeping it.
I'm going to say New Day retains, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say New Day retains.
Okay, that makes the most sense. Lucha Dragons aren't over enough. Usos just got back. New Day's got it, so that's fine. Next, we have the WWE.
Keep it tight.
Yeah. Keep it tight. Yeah, I love up, up, down, down. Yeah. Intercontinental title match, Dean Ambrose against Kevin Owens.
That's the tricky one. I'll say Owens keeps it.
Here's some irony. Right now I'm looking at the finish of Dean Ambrose TLC match versus Bray Wyatt last year. And that's the one where he tries to come at him with a plugged in monitor or something. And when he runs, it explodes in his face.
Oh yeah. It shorts out or something.
Yeah. And then Bray goes over with Sister Abigail. That's happening as we speak. Because I just put on last year's TLC in the background while I talk to you guys. So just in hope that they're not going to keep jobbing the same people on the same pay-per-views every year, I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose on this one.
Yeah, I'll have to go with my boy Deanie getting it.
All right.
I don't know. I don't see where he would go storyline-wise as the IC champion right now. That's why I'm sticking with Owens.
We're short on baby faces, though.
That we are.
It could swing either way with these. Like, I'm literally just coin-tossing on these because it could really swing either way. So finally, we have the TLC WWE World Title match, Roman Reigns versus Sheamus.
You know how that's ending. Sheamus is holding the title.
Sheamus, yeah. Sheamus is going to hold the title.
As much as I love Roman, they're probably going to end up screwing him again. So Sheamus will probably retain.
Yeah. I think they still have big plans for Roman Reigns, whether we like it or not. So as a result, you're not going to have your next big star win at TLC.
Yeah.
You got Royal Rumble coming right around the corner. WrestleMania is not that far away anymore. It just would be meaningless for him to win it there. So
yeah, because it has to be a bigger atmosphere for it to actually mean something. So.
Yeah, so we'll be stuck with Sheamus for a little bit longer.
It's at the point where I can't see the belt on Roman right now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And that's it. That's pretty much the week in wrestling.
So you'll get it soon enough, babe. You'll get it soon enough.
We'll see. We will see. The day that he does get it, you know what my reaction is going to be?
And I'll probably be a New Day dancing around, you know, with my little unicorn horn saying in your face. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I can imagine. But yeah, so in any case, like I said, we're going to talk next week about everything going on, what happened, how many of these predictions came true. We'll talk over the weekend about the UFC stuff as well. Don't forget, next week, I believe, is NXT TakeOver next week?
No.
It's the following week. We get one more. Okay. Well, we'll cover that when it gets around to it anyway. But I guess next week will be about the UFC and TLC pay-per-views. And anything else that comes in our direction. It's kind of empty with Walking Dead gone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you still got Enter the Badlands. You could watch that.
I knew
that.
You were going to bring that up. Into the Bad Show. Nah, I'm good, man. I'm really good. Only if I needed something to poke fun of, and we have TNA for that.
Yeah, nah, I'd stay away from either.
Yeah, well, I can't blame you. Oh, boy. So I hope you had fun, Jen. You came out of your shell more today.
Definitely.
Yes,
did.
I did. I had a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. We have a big week next week and a bigger year next year. On that note, we're out of here.
See ya.
Thanks.